Gavin McInnes is back with his all-new online network, freespeech.tv. Gavin McInnes, Joe Biggs, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Soph, all at freespeech.tv.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not laying down to the globalist. I'm not letting them program me. I am a free spirit. I am a free soul. And I want to control my own destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this Thursday, October 24th, 2019, worldwide broadcast. I'm going to be here for the next 4 hours. And then we've got the War Room with Owen Schroyer coming up, and then Firepower right after that. Okay. Let me just, again, do my best to tell you what is coming up today, because there is a lot of it to break down. When I saw this story this morning, when I got up at 6 a.m., and I was drinking my coffee by the time I finished reading it outside, a good 45 minutes later, why did I spend 45 minutes on one story? Because I followed the links and I went and refreshed myself on some of the previous news that had come out in the last week. And I went then and printed those articles that tie together with this bombshell report. Poll: majority of Americans want to rewrite First Amendment to stop hate speech. Now, obviously, they oversample leftists. Obviously, it's skewed partially, but it still is the majority of people that are millennials and on college campuses. And I've experienced these people being anti-free speech. So it's very, very dangerous. The story is top linked on the left-hand side of Drudge. It's a Paul Joseph Watson article. And I want to spend much of the first hour on this. I want to spend much of the first hour on this because it ties in with this report. Poll finds 7 in 10 believe America is nearing civil war. Now, we've been talking a lot about that, but we're already in a form of soft civil war right now. Trump's also called Republicans who oppose him human scum, talking about neocon never-Trumpers. More dangerous for our country than Democrats. Those stories tie together. But they really tie together with this stack of news right here in my hand. Because this has the good, the bad, and the ugly. How bad it is, what the master plan is, but how to stop it. And who's behind it all. Now, I told you Soros tracks the media through the State Department and has stay-behind networks there funded by Obama that they harass everybody that supports Second Amendment, national sovereignty, independent media, President Trump, you name it. Well, it's all out in the news today that he still runs the State Department. Now, we got rid of Fiona Hill. We exposed her 2 years ago. And that was one of the main reasons they deplatformed me, was she was packing the State Department out of the White House. She had the executive power. Trump really got rooked on that. And we're going to be looking at it from every angle coming up today. But when I say Soros is like co-president with Hillary, Soros and Hillary still have almost as much power as Trump. They don't have the nuclear launch codes. That pisses them off. We're going to lay all this out today. It all ties together. There's so much to get into. Believe me, this is a transmission you don't want to miss. And we've got a bunch of really amazing guests as well. One in studio. Please stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The electronic straitjacket, known as a technocracy, is being built. There is a rush by every major corporation, government, university, research institution to establish a global AI supremacy, in their own words. Currency supremacy, AI surveillance supremacy, AI autonomous military supremacy. There's a rush. It's been decided, a post-human world. And you and I ain't in it. It's a big club, and we ain't in it. Diabolical beyond diabolical. In fact, I woke up at 2 a.m. this morning and went back to sleep about an hour later, and I just thought of the word diabolical, 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 diabolical. And I meant to tell the producers, please give me the definition of diabolical. And then I forgot. I just remembered as we started the broadcast, please give me the definition of diabolical. And then please give me the definition of sinister. And then please give me the definition of wicked. And then please give me the definition of megalomaniac. And then give me the definition of genocide. And then give me the definition of transhumanist. That's a lot. We'll see if they can get all of that. Probably too big of a plate to throw it out that fast. I can't remember what I just said, can you? Much less can I remember to pull that up. A tall order, but we'll see. Our blind sides are that we like to drive through the countryside and see beautiful rows of crops growing and the moon rising at 6 in the afternoon while the sun's still up in the air. How magic. And birds flying by and happy families. And just we never get tired of sitting by a fire. Never get tired of cooking some soup. We never get tired of that cool air in the autumn. Never get tired of just the simple things. But there are evil people on this planet of every race, color, and creed. Every group has them. That don't like goodness. That don't like wholesomeness. That don't like good old-fashioned human programming. And their religion is defiling and sabotaging that. And through culture and through Hollywood and through literature and through movies, they tell you this. In Sleeping Beauty, the Disney version, there's the evil witch. She's not invited to the big party for the birth of the little girl. And so she tricks her to prick her finger on the beautiful spinning wheel. They always have to trick you to take the iPhone or take the brain chip or take the Prozac. They always have to induct you into it. They have to trick you to take the Trojan horse. And then the whole kingdom is under a blight while she's in this coma, while innocence, while the goddess is in this coma. And it's the same story with Snow White, and it's the same story, but only the prince, true love, men and women coming together, creates the future. And so the Satanists target that. And there's so many permutations of this. But that's what they're after. Because they're bleeding off the essence, that power of the human will and the human trajectory. And you see that archetype over and over and over and over again in literature and art in culture because it's mirroring the real world that's going on. It is the defense of innocence and the defense of life and dignity in life that has to be held at the highest level. Or we allow systems to unfold that are designed to make us lower our defenses so that we can be enslaved. And you don't want to dominate or enslave somebody. You're satisfied. But just because you don't have those desires doesn't mean other people don't have them and don't have an overarching, overdriving, commanding obsession, possession to get power to then twist and destroy creation. Let's take the first make of Superman. I guess it'd be the second one. Back in the 70s. But General Zod, what does he do when he goes in to the main records of the planet? He takes the genetic memory of the planet, the genetic code, and he breaks it with pleasure. And why does he do that? Because to manipulate and attack and destroy the genetic code, the original genetic code, is a total commitment to his own personal power to do something destructive. Take Last of the Mohicans, which is literature, but based on a composite of real things that happened in the French and Indian Wars when we were colonies that George Washington fought in. And George Washington's character is in the film. A real battle that Washington was in is in the book, is in the film that's made out of it. And Russell Means, who I got to know, interesting fella, you know, he's in the movie, and he's one of the last of the Mohicans. And here comes the other leader of the tribe who's been hunting him for years. And he says in the final fight, I'm going to wipe out the Mohicans right now forever. And the power that my tribe's going to have, because the Mohicans had been upright and strong and powerful, but they'd gotten other tribes organized against them in the 100 years before and wiped them all out. And here was the last Mohican up against the chief of this other tribe. And the chief says, I'm going to kill your seed forever in this ritual of power. And then he's just, oh, the power to destroy the last of the Mohicans. Oh, this is so good. And if you see that, why is it in all the literature? Why is it in all the art? Why is it in all the movies? Why is it in Exodus? And then they've dug up the hieroglyphs, and it turns out that that Egyptian king was there. The Israelites were there. It all happened. And they've dug up the orders of Ramses. They just found them 20 years ago. Where he ordered the firstborn of the Israelites killed. Why the hell would he do that? And then it turns out all those cultures were doing that to each other. Why would someone say, kill every firstborn male you've got? Because they've proven through epigenetics that the firstborn male, whatever goes on in the female when the sperm and the egg meet, decisions are made on what's going to go into that, and genetic permutations take place, and it's that firstborn that is going to unlock the majority of the genetic memory. And every culture knows that. That's why the firstborn gets the inheritance. And I'm not saying firstborns don't turn into spoiled brats or have problems, but all the astronauts are firstborn. The kings are all firstborn. What is that? Because the genetics are passed on, and the enemy wants to take all of our ancient genetic memory that we're going to unfold and unlock and destroy it before we find out who we are. We're that close to discovering the secrets of the universe that we already have hidden within us. We are the AI. We are the advanced species. We are made in the image of God. We are the future. Stay with us.
It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Bringing us in, Smack My Bitch Up. And there's big moves now, big tech and major universities and major state houses and the federal government. They're all promoting, the bills are introduced to ban the word bitch. Smack My Bitch Up. I don't use the word bitch a lot. I don't tend to think of women as female dogs. Those female dogs are pretty nice usually in my experience, but it's a word people use, and they should be able to use it all the time. I think a bitch, though, is somebody just complaining, period, or being a wimp. So you say, don't be a bitch. But we have a right to offend. We have a right to free expression. We have a right to communicate with people. We have a right to be shunned. We have a right to shun. We have a right to embrace. We have a right to repel. We have a right to dress nice and try to smell good, or we have a right to dress horribly and stink. What type of authoritarian nightmare are we in that I'll cover next segment in great detail, where the gauntlet has been thrown down on the ground and the assault on the heart of America is here? The right to defense is the right arm of America, but it is not the brain and the guts and the heart. Speech is more important than the right to defense, because without speech, you can't organize the ability to have a defense. It comes first. The founders are right, because it's paramount to be able to communicate, to even know how to communicate. And the globalists have openly said the Fabian Socialist goal, their symbol, the most powerful socialist group in the world, the proto-globalist, the pre-globalist, the precursor, run by the Aleister Crowley types, OSS turned into MI6, is just riddled with these people, is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Anybody can type in the original symbol of the Fabian Socialist. And George Orwell was a member. Eric Blair came from a powerful family of intellectuals who was involved with the Wedgwoods, the Huxleys, the Darwins, the Galtons. They were involved in a secret breeding program. And the Blairs were on the edge of that. And he believed in them until he found out the final goal, when when he became the deputy leader of the Fabian Socialist, they let him in and they said, okay, there's only about 10 people in England know this. Our plan is to exterminate humanity for Satan. He wrote white papers on it. You can go read the essays of Orwell. And he went, we're not creating communism to empower people. They said, no, my friend, we're going to stomp on humanity forever and trample and be trampled upon until we build a system finally to eradicate all life on the planet. That is what our master demands. He said, I don't think I'll be part of that. Look it up. That's when he came out and became an anti-Stalinist. I've read everything I could ever get a hold of on George Orwell. About 20 years ago, I was already on air about 5 years. I'd read a few of his books, and I sent off and bought all the books, all the compendiums of essays. I bought compendiums of his letters. I also stalked George Washington about 10 years ago. I've read probably 15 books on Washington, bought compendiums of his letters. Now you can read them all online. It's intriguing. You can't get away from history. He's talking about Illuminati and how they're fighting Satanists and how the Luciferians want to take over our movement and how they're taking over the Masonic lodges, but the good Masons are battling it. I mean, you get a really deep view on the world when you're reading George Washington after he's president and after he left the presidency. You know, he was about to get back on his horse and go back to D.C., to stop an Illuminati takeover of the United States when he was bled to death and probably poisoned by the father of modern psychiatry. Yes, the first psychiatrist killed George Washington, many believe. That's what I mean about history. It's really cool. And it's hard to put down as soon as you start learning all the different angles of it and really getting an idea that there's a whole ruling class that knows how we operate, that knows all about us. And there are those trying to guide humanity towards empowerment with God. And there are those that want to keep us in the dark and be God over us. Because they want to inhabit the chicken SH-T dimension. Term I've coined. The chicken you-know-what dimension. I don't wish to be a chicken bleeper. Into petty things. Jealous, hateful, envious, trying to hurt people, trying to keep them in the dark. That's real evil, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't want to be part of that. We want to reveal what's really going on. Everything with the Illuminati is a lie. They're not illuminating anything. They're keeping people in the dark. I want to bring the real light. You see, Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. And if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. But it is not possible when you are given the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop preaching. I've got so much news. I'm going to stop now. I'm going to stop now. I'm going to stop now. When we come back, though, I'm going to get right into the heart of the attack on free speech and ways to counter it and just how huge all of this is on the other side. And then we've got the Democrats maneuvering, getting everybody ready for Hillary to run. Announcements being made. She is definitely on the verge of making the final decision to publicly do it. I don't think she can help herself. I think it's about a 90% chance that she's going to announce the next 2 months, but we'll see. Her body could give out. And we've got so much more all coming up today. Zuckerberg in front of Congress pushing his cryptocurrency, crashing all the other big cryptocurrencies. It's all coming up. Infowars.com. Tomorrow's news today. Please, please spread that maxim to everyone. The freedom to fight tyranny, it lives at InfoWars. Coming at you live. Woo! Yeah!
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It's a reliable source of information. 50,000. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live broadcasting worldwide. There's so much to get to here, but let me just start with current events and developments right now in a stack of 7 or 8 articles, 3 or 4 video clips I've got here right now that we're going to hit. This story, again, is a Jamie White article on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. State Department used Soros-linked media tracking tool to illegally monitor pro-Trump journalists. And this is being reported on by U.S. News and World Report. This is being reported on by mainstream news. Now, why is that so important? That is the beginning of it coming out that Obama at least got $2 billion when he left office in the Defense Authorization Act of 2017 that he signed in December of 2016 for the next year's funding. Presidents have a lot of power for a few more years after they leave by what they sign in if the other president doesn't undo it. That's why Trump was so mad about all of Obama's executive orders that were unconstitutional and usurping American power. And now they go, wait, Trump signed more than Obama has. But he's done it judiciously to undo what Obama did. And then when courts try to override what Trump's done, while it's going to the Supreme Court, Trump signs executive orders blocking it. And then the Supreme Court, in every case, has reaffirmed the president. I mean, he really is following the Constitution and Bill of Rights. He unconstitutionally, though, to contradict myself, killed the Trans-Pacific Partnership that Congress hadn't ratified, but Hillary had bragged that she'd helped write, that transferred our power to this unelected deal. Obama had done that outside of Congress. Trump used that unconstitutional power to kill it. So, see, that's how this is double-edged and very sophisticated. He did an unconstitutional act to strike down an unconstitutional act. He should never have had that power, and he said that. He's told Congress pass laws taking that away and start challenging it. But until then, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So they'll go, oh, look, he's using executive power. It's dangerous. He declared an emergency on the border. In fact, there's a Drudge Report article. Will you guys print me that? I saw it. I meant to print it about how part of the wall is being built in Colorado. We'll get to that next segment. But let me get back to this in the time we have. So look at these headlines. State Department, U.S. Used Soros-linked media tracking tool to illegally monitor pro-Trump journalist. How does that tie into this? University of Connecticut students arrested and charged with ridicule for using the N-word, playing a game, walking through a parking lot at night, saying bad words. Poll. Majority of Americans want to rewrite First Amendment to stop hate speech. This is the big one I'm going to cover in detail. It's an Infowars.com article linked on DrudgeReport.com, left-hand side. Video. House Republicans storm Democrat secret impeachment hearing. How does this all tie together? Shaquille O'Neal on NBA China scandal. We gonna say whatever we want to say. And China's gonna have to learn to deal with it. Even though he's got massive business in China. That's a real player. Watch Kid tricks NBA into airing Stand with Hong Kong t-shirt. Yeah, you talk about gangsta. Give that man a cigar. PragerU truck to air banned videos in front of YouTube HQ. And then a Texas man says a 7-year-old isn't transgender. Now his custody fight has reached the governor's office. Now, what do all these articles have to do in kind? They're all about opposing forces battling. We're already in a civil war against globalist forces that want to literally shut us up, bankrupt us, and take control of our families and destroy every basic liberty hard fought and hard won. A lot of blood, a lot of treasure, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears paid for the basic freedoms we've got that made us special. Freedoms that existed but had to be fought for, not given by the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Those are there to enshrine under man's law and protect and defend. Faithfully. Well, I haven't sworn an oath to that to any agency or any government. I've sworn it before God. And when I see that Bill of Rights and that Constitution, it makes a lot of sense when you compare it to God's law because it's inspired by that. Don't let the left lie to you. Go read what the founders really said. It's totally inspired. And it is Judaic Christian. A lot of the right wing or super right wing goes, oh, don't say Judaic. Come on, our common law, a lot of it came in Europe out of Judaic and British law and then mixed in with the Germanic law and the Celtic law. And it was all very similar. And it's pretty common sense stuff. So, yes, it is. But continuing here, how does this all tie together? People are fighting back. But the globalists are fighting back illegally with taxpayer money. And Soros is in the State Department with his people via Fiona Hill that put reportedly hundreds of them in. Because McMaster brought her in under Trump's nose for 2+ years. We exposed her. She got taken out. That's something we did at InfoWars that you did by supporting us. Over and over again, we lays the political target so that Trump can take them out so he can find out about it. But somebody's got to be on the ground to spotlight these cockroaches up close. It's not fun, but we're doing it. And the enemy wants us out because we've spotlighted so many of them. But again, we've got to be on the ground. And you're on the ground. When you send our articles out, when you spread the word, when you call into C-SPAN or call the White House or mail these physically to Trump Tower, it all gets to his people and gets to him. When you give it to the Secret Service, it gets to Trump. He doesn't let anybody. He lets all the Secret Service, everybody bring him boxes of periodicals, his little offerings. And he wants every, notes from people in the crowd and magazines from hotels and just piles of it. And he just stays up on Air Force One when he's flying around the world just reading it all, just voracious, like, because he understands he needs that data, just scooping it up. That's what I do as well here. That's what you do. Human intelligence on the ground. So when we come back, I'll get into all of this, but this is really important because this all ties together. They're coming, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the NAACP, the ADL, has come out, let me show you this, has come out and said, ban the OK symbol. You all, that's stupid, that's ridiculous, that's a 4chan joke. The ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center and all these groups want to be able to ban something, the international symbol of OK. They want control over what language can be used, what alphabets are allowed. That's the Fabian socialist goal. So I'll put a plug in here. We have a great high-quality hat. We're calling it It's OK to Be OK hat. Kind of like the NBA three-point symbol, too. Oh, my gosh, Apple has an emoji of that. Are they bad, too? You exercise these symbols or you lose them, and it's a great way. People ask, well, what's this about? And it's a great conversational piece. It's a high-quality hat. This hat cost us $10 to produce. We had to order a lot of them to get it at that price, or it would have been 12 bucks a piece. I'm selling it for $19.95. It's a great black baseball cap with white on the back, very handsome, very lightweight, but quality. This is one of my favorite wearers in the last 2 months because I wear a hat out a lot in public. And something I don't like to meet the public, but I get noticed less and get more stuff done. So incognito sunglasses and this. And I just love it because it's so lightweight. It's $19.95. Get it. It's going up today for sale. Just came in. I had the prototype for a few months. It's Rob Dew's idea for this. Great idea. Infowarsstore.com. It's okay to be okay hat. It's a great conversational starter. And the leftists want to control symbols. So it seems like a simple thing to do, but it's a big thing. Support InfoWars. Support free speech. Have free expression. And wear the great It's okay hat. Black on white. It's really beautiful. InfoWars on the back. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
By the way, I've got a good idea why Drudge has been doing positive and negative coverage of Trump. I have a really good idea. And tomorrow, I'm going to air a special report during the show breaking down why it appears Drudge has this change of course. And the reason I have a good idea is I look at what Drudge links to. And I look at the reports where I ask, is Trump politically suicidal? Or my message where I told Trump, you better effing back off the Second Amendment, and he did. And I, by the way, no Trump got that report. I talked to some of the folks that were let's just say, visitors to Air Force One who heard about it. But I'm going to leave it at that. And the truth is, that's how you get Trump on the straight and narrow. Instead of just being a bunch of sycophants on the Trump train. And I think Trump's doing a great job overall. But I personally want to see him defend journalists like Julian Assange that he told to release what he did. So that's a big black mark on Trump. But I'm not going to go into a jag on Trump right now. I got some positive things I want to hit. But there's a lot of criticism I see out there about Drudge. And it's not just that Drudge links to us a lot, that I'm kind of seeing what Drudge is doing and understanding it and pretty much agreeing with it. I talked to Paul Watson about events he goes to. And he goes, man, these Trump cults, I mean, it is like just like they're all super optimistic. They think Trump's invincible. You know, Paul's been to some of these big things, and it's scary because I know Trump is on the razor's edge, and I get he wants to act confident, but the listeners need to know, and everybody that's activist out there need to know, we got Trump elected, so they're coming after us if Trump gets taken out. So I don't want Trump being taken out for a lot of reasons. Obviously, he's doing a lot of good stuff. I care about the guy, but him not taking action on the censorship and floating red flag laws and some of the other stuff going on is super dangerous. And, you know, if Ann Coulter puts pressure on him to get the wall built, and then he gets more of it done. I mean, I've been somewhat critical of her over criticism, but, you know, maybe she's onto something. We should have a larger debate about that, but I'll have a report out tomorrow on it. And we do have a really big guest with a lot of big intel tomorrow. And I got a big data dump from him, and it really freaked me out a few nights ago, I usually sleep like a baby. I didn't sleep too good really the last two nights knowing this stuff. And it's just big medicine, as they say. So you'll want to join us tomorrow. I'll leave it at that. All right, getting back to the positive. They're coming after our speech because it's effective and it's hurting them, and they put themselves in a very authoritarian position, but they've got the colleges that were once bastions of free speech to accept this is an okay thing and actually think it's a virtue. Like the NAACP said, the N-word is not just a word. We want serious prosecution of these guys running around in a game where you run around and say bad words. Sounds like some idiot college thing. And just because I disagree with it doesn't mean that I disagree with their right to say it. So, again, they teach you one word is totally evil and so scary and so powerful like abracadabra. I mean, the N-word could start wars, get you fired, get you killed. I mean, we always thought abracadabra and stuff wasn't real. But see, if you're taught a word super powerful, well, then I guess it is magic, isn't it? The N-word's magic. And now it's other words that are magic, like mother and father. Major tampon companies are taking where it says women off of it and the image of a woman because it might hurt a transgendered woman who has a penis. You go, well, that's mental illness. Always brand. It's mental illness inflicted on you. That, oh, men who say they're women are offended by a box of tampons that says it's for women. Because, see, the existence of a woman is bad. It isn't about letting somebody pretend they're something else. It's about your existence. And these men want in your dressing rooms with your daughters, and they want to compete with you. Of course, they'll never win in the men's. It's just now men's will be men's, and then women will be run by cheater men. And women will be obsolete, which has always been the plan targeting women. Women are being targeted by these men saying they're women. Taking women's power, taking your space, taking your place, getting in your grill, getting in your children's grill. God's your grill. Because I've been thinking about busting you in your forehead. I'm going to start quoting some Ludacris here in a minute. You see them headlights? You see them knock them curtains down? So that's what this is all about. UConn students arrested and charged with ridicule for using the N-word. This huge article poll, majority of Americans want to rewrite First Amendment to stop hate speech. Incredible story. I'm going to read it next hour. video. House Republicans storm Democrats. That's the answer, is you storm these events. You point out their Soviet-style and kangaroo court. You come out like Shaquille O'Neal, and you say, this is what America's about. It's who we are. You got to get used to it. You got to respect that. We've got our territory. And again, the kid holds up a sign that says one thing, then flips it around once they're on him. Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. Love how he trolled them. PragerU, a bunch of their good, wholesome videos banned on YouTube. So they go and park it in front of them and demonstrate and get massive news attention. It's on InfoWars.com. See some of the banned videos and share them. That's how you do it. By the way, we'll just create a mirror. I've thought of this. Their videos are free. We're going to create a mirror at banned.video. We'll just post every PragerU video there is, with a link to support them. We're all in this together. You fight back. You take action. You point out the child abuse of this medical doctor lady that went and got an embryo that didn't even her son, poor boy, gets it, divorces the husband. The kid's on video saying, well, mommy tells me she wants me to be a girl and I like girls, so I'll be a girl. But she said, but he says, I want to be a boy. Well, you are a boy. Well, she wants him to transition and cut the, that's another mother they're showing right there. This is a Texas mother, TV viewer. And now she wants to go ahead and get the surgery going. That child can't make that decision. That child's being led by their mother, not their biological mother. He grew inside of her, off the edge of a cliff. There are mothers that want to chop their children's fingers off. We put them in mental institutions. There are women that hurt their children to get attention from the medical system, Munchausen by proxy. Well, what is it when these women do it to get attention because they turned their little boy into a little girl as a freak show? And why is it always little boys 90% of the time? Because they're targeting boys like they did in every ancient culture that went to hell. But here's Shaquille O'Neal, finally, somebody in the NBA, supporting the manager of the Rockets and saying, he's right. We got to stand up to injustice everywhere. Oh, but see, King James, LeBron, only does it when he's pissing on America, where he's made $450 million. Because see, here, it's okay to go around and bitch and complain and talk about how your country sucks. Oh, but don't talk about China. It's got 2 million people in concentration camps. Don't do that. Here's Shaquille O'Neal.
We as American people, we do a lot of business in China, and they know and understand our values, and we understand their values. And one of our best values here in America is free speech. We're allowed to say what we want to say, and we're allowed to speak up about injustices, and that's just how it goes. And if people don't understand that, that's something that they have to deal with. But, you know, I just think, thought it was unfortunate for, you know, both parties, and then you got people speaking when they don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, Daryl Morey was right. Whenever you see something wrong going on anywhere in the world, you should have the right to say, that's not right, and that's what he did. And but again, you know, when it comes to business, sometimes you have to tiptoe around things. But again, they understand our values, we understand our values, and here we have the right to speak, especially with the social media. We're going to say whatever we want to say, when we want to say it.
But the social media shack's going after everybody, actually telling us what to do and adopting what China does and banning Winnie the Pooh emojis and the Taiwanese and Hong Kong flag. But see, the fight's here now. People are getting it. Shaquille O'Neal's like, hey, that's what America is. What are you talking about? And watch, they won't mess with him because it was said strong. He didn't show weakness. You watch, they're not going to do a damn thing to him. But everybody else groveling, oh, yes, sir. They're going to want more, more, more. We're going to break. I'm going to play more of these solutions when we come back. Then I've got special guests and so much news. And those definitions I got into earlier, I'm going to break those down. Big second, third, and fourth hour today. Please remember, we won't be here without your financial support. We got great products you already need, so it's a win-win. The only way you fail is not spreading the word about the broadcast and not getting the products. Folks, the best toothpaste, no fillers, colloidal silver, iodine, no fluoride, super blue. We've got the best turmeric. Find out why it's great. We've got the X2, the X3, and we've got the iodine challenge. Learn about that. InfoWarsStore.com. Store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points, 40 to 70% off store-wide. But this sale does have to end soon. InfoWarsStore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
We are back live broadcasting worldwide. I am your host, Alex Jones, and I've been spending most of the first hour getting into the abolishment of the First Amendment here in this country, mirroring what's happened with the abolition of free speech in Europa. Now, Lee Stranahan is going to be joining us. He is back to high school, friends with the head of the Trump campaign, Mr. Parscale. And I'm not seeking to hurt Parscale. I just have been told some very serious stuff in the last couple of years about him. And then more and more, I've got it from other people in positions very close to it. And so we're going to talk about that. And we're going to get Lee Stranahan, investigative journalist that worked with him at his father's company, Parscale's company, and has been friends with him for many years. And I didn't call Lee Stranahan up and say, hey, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? I know he knows him well. And so I'm going to throw at him some of the stuff I've been told, which I don't bring up here with pleasure. You know, it's like Fiona Hill or any of this stuff. I just have to do this. And so we've also got Robert Barnes in studio, and then Larry Johnson, the multiple-time Pro Bowler. I'm not even a huge football guy, but I was big back when I watched it, but I haven't been watching it much for 20 years. But I even know who he is. But I really admire him because he's very well-spoken and smart and a good talk show host. And he's got a new microphone, too, so it's even better. He's going to be hosting the fourth hour, so it's good to have him working with us, Larry Johnson, the motivationaledge.org. Let me do this. This is a short segment. When we come back, I'm going to finish up with people taking action against the censorship and some great examples of what's going on. But let's go ahead and cue up the little kid at the basketball game who ended up chumping these guys where they're dragging you out. You know, if you try to say defend free speech or if you say free Hong Kong, oh, you can't do that in America. That might make the Chi Coms angry. But if you want to, you know, have a NAMBLA sign, they're all for that. During Tuesday's night's opening game between the NBA's Los Angeles Lakers and Los Angeles Clippers, a young boy held up a T-shirt reading, Fight for Freedom, Stand with Hong Kong. The child was protesting the NBA's recent kowtowing to communist China. And perhaps the young man was inspired by Owen Schroyer and others that have been going out doing the same thing. But again, this is little things, but it's big when we all start doing it. You let one ant stand up, they might all stand up. And then there it goes for the grasshoppers. Here it is.
Open Gangnam Style.
Fight for freedom. Stand with Hong Kong. And then, of course, the camera veers away, but then the little clip goes viral. And the attempt that they try to veer away makes it go even bigger. Exercise your muscles. Go to an NBA game with an Infowars.com shirt. What you can do is have one that says one thing on the front, like, I love the Rockets or I love the Lakers. You can go to any shop, you can get these things done cheap. Shirt's like $6, $7. The printing's probably $6, $7. And it's like $15, $12 for the shirt. And then you just flip it once they're on you to Infowars.com. Which, believe me, folks, is the standard of resistance. We're seen as Americana by the globalists in their own public statements that must be destroyed. They go, that spirit there, that could spread and bring us down. So it's beautiful, and we appreciate everybody, what they're doing. But, yes, free Hong Kong, that's great. Infowars.com, that's excellent as well. But I wanted to go over some of this article, so I will. It's just astounding. When we come back, poll, majority of Americans want to rewrite First Amendment to stop hate speech. And I want to walk through the actual poll and what happened. And even though it's skewed more towards anti-free speech folks, it still, I think, it's pretty accurate that a large portion of people aren't just anti-free speech. They're very dangerous authoritarians who are very stupid. I mean, there's a lot of idiots who aren't part of the ruling establishment who want to get rid of free speech just because they think it's trendy and cool. These people are a disease, a virus, a plague, the scum of the earth. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Welcome back. We're now into hour number two of this Thursday, October 24th, 2019 transmission. There is a story top linked on the left-hand side of DrudgeReport.com that I'm asking everyone to go get and to share. We post so many articles on InfoWars that it's probably already scrolled off the front page, but it's the top of DrudgeReport.com, and it really is shameful, and we really should trigger a national debate about this. You see people arrested in California because somebody comes into their business and is a 6'3" man, and they say, hello, sir, hey, guys, and the person blows up and calls the police, and there are arrests now being made because you use the wrong pronoun. You got to learn all this weird, kooky garbage, and they want to give extra power to these people all over the world as the useful idiot test cases so that more people, you know, join the bandwagon to get these special rights while all of our basic rights are being thrown overboard. Poll, majority of Americans want to rewrite First Amendment to stop hate speech. And folks up at the University of Connecticut got arrested a few days ago because they were saying the N-word, not even at somebody, inciting someone or disturbing the peace. You could say if you walked into a black church and were saying that, you could be arrested because you are inciting a riot. You're disturbing the peace. That's different than free speech because your intent is to go do that. These guys were playing a game like jackass to do it. And it's a well-known idiotic college game. I don't agree with it, but they got arrested. Well, next they can move on to other words, which they are. Poll. Majority of Americans want to rewrite First Amendment to stop hate speech. 60% of millennials say Constitution goes too far in allowing free speech. Too far. A new poll has found that the majority of Americans want to rewrite the First Amendment to reflect the cultural norms of today in order to stop hate speech. The cultural norms, which means hate America, don't have free speech, get rid of it all. Because you either have it or you don't. The survey indicates free speech is under more threat than previously believed. Yeah, the Democrat law firm suing me admit they want to end the First Amendment. According to Campaign for Free Speech, who conducted the poll, 51% of Americans want to see the First Amendment rewritten, while more than 60% agree with restricting free speech in some way. Nearly 60% of millennials, 50% of them would say they're communists, agreed with the Constitution goes too far as to, quote, allowing hate speech in modern America. But someone else uses their speech to define it. But they're the high priest. They're the Southern Poverty Law Center, the NAACP, and, of course, the ADL, who were in the news saying, oh, yes, arrest people that use the wrong pronouns or use the N-word or whatever, because those aren't just words. They're hurting people. Well, you can define anything. When Beto says he wants to confiscate my guns, that's hurtful. Should I be able to sue him? No. Most millennials also support laws that would make hate speech a crime. That's a quote. And 54% of those support jail time for offenders. Well, like Count Dankula spent time in jail in huge fines. And when he wouldn't pay the fine, he didn't get a jury trial. He just took the money out of his account for Hitler Dog that mirrored a John Cleese skit. John Cleese left the UK saying it was no longer free. Almost 60%. Of course, Tommy Robinson's been in jail quite a bit for exposing child kidnapping rings that were convicted and confirmed. Almost 60% of respondents also thought the government should be able to take action against newspapers and TV stations that publish content that is biased, inflammatory, or false. Oh, and they will decide. The government should take action, not even through a civil court. Don't even prove a suit. Just the government should take action. Sounds like communist China. The findings are frankly extraordinary. Executive Director Bob Leaston, who I want to get on the show, please, guys, told the Washington Free Beacon, our free speech rights and our free press rights have evolved well over 200 years, and people now seem to be rethinking them. The numbers are shocking and reflect a total lack of understanding for the concept of free speech, which is that the very worst speech must be upheld for free speech to exist at all times, since what's considered offensive or hate is entirely subjective. Yeah, convicted NAMBLA members go in Kansas and Texas and California, and children sit on their laps, and people say, hey, we ran their plates. They're convicted child rapists. And the local news goes, oh, it's discriminatory. They shouldn't run their backgrounds. That's in the news. That's right, the librarian has to do a background, but not a fat man in a clown outfit. Ride him horsey. The article goes on. And there's a live feed posted to this show in it. So an action item, if you should choose to take this mission, is to share this article from DrudgeReport.com. I mean, are we men? Are we mice? Are we idiots? Are we going to put up with this? Now, let's talk about solutions. When they have star-chambered impeachment hearings that the Republicans aren't allowed to be in, and when transcripts can't be had, and when they're not allowed to ask questions, that's called a Soviet star chamber. It's beyond a kangaroo court. Kangaroo court's just where you've got rigged witnesses and a rigged judge. A star chamber's in secret. That's one step away from just not even having courts, but usually dictators like to have a flimsy one. So the very group's calling Trump this big tyrant, he's thrown out due process, when he's been affirmed by the Supreme Court every time, is really rich because that's what they're doing. Well, House Republicans stormed the Democrat closed-door impeachment deposition with the Capitol, forced to delay into the secret unconstitutional proceedings. What have I told listeners to do? Legally, lawfully, you have a right as citizens to line up. Most of the time at powerful committees, no one's there, but like 10 press are lined up, and most of these committees take like 200 people. You get there, you stand there for an hour, you won't believe who's in the line, you can do all these interviews, and then you just go in. And people hold up signs, you know, they sit there and do things. I mean, it's just very effective. And I've said, we need to storm Congress. We need to storm Congress. Now, some listeners have been going and doing it, legally and lawfully. But I'm glad Congress is listening, because I told you, and I'm not just bragging about us, this is the action. Congress is listening. The White House is listening. And sometimes I talk to folks, they go, man, that was a really good show. You know, I'm scared to come on, but the wife and all of us listen, you know, big members of the Congress. And I'm not bragging, I'm saying we're effective. You're effective. This show's effective. And they're like, yeah, I don't know why we never thought of that. I wasn't told on this issue they got the idea from me. They probably didn't. This is all just common sense stuff, but you need to take the family to D.C. and go to the Smithsonian, go to the Space and Aeronautics Museum. Go to the National Memorials. It's amazing. And then go for like a four-day vacation. And then go, now let's go see our senator or congressperson, particularly if they're a swing state, or if they're a Republican that's been stabbing Trump in the back, or they're a liberal on the fence. You can find out who they are, or even if they're not your congressman or senator, go to them because they're your representative. When we come back, I'm going to play a couple clips of them going in and confronting them in the press conferences, but this is victory. This is the answer. Soros is spending, I have the articles right here, hundreds and hundreds of millions, in some cases, per Senate race on demonstrators and fake media and all this. And he spent $300 million, it came out just today, in Italy. It's at EuropeWars.com. Great site, EuropeWars.com, our European division. Dan Lyman heading it up. He's got some good folks under him now. And turns out just last year he spent $300 million financing to overthrow the nationalist president and to open the borders again, which he just got done. But this is the globalist takeover. And it's all about targeting Christian nations in case it ever springs back up. That's what's threatening them. So there's a lot of amazing news on this front. And we're going to be getting into all of it when we come back. And then investigative journalist Lee Stranahan, who knows the Trump campaign head very well, knew him when he was a teenager, worked with him under his Parscale's father, is going to give us his view on him. I follow some of Stranahan's work. He's a really smart guy. I respect him. I agree with about 95% of what he says. I don't know his view on Parscale. See, I don't look for outcomes here from guests that I call up and find out what they think so I have them on. I literally love to call somebody I respect, like a Joel Skousen or somebody, and just say, hey, come on, give me your view, without even knowing what it is. And I really got to make some decisions about the Parscale thing, because I've been told by some folks I trust some stuff that I know the mainstream media knows, and I think they're holding over Parscale's head. They have a word for it. I think it's called blackmail. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
What?
folks. Alex Jones here back live. Let's plunge right into it. You have Shaquille O'Neal coming out saying, this is America. We have free speech. Everybody should stop bowing to China. They've got their country. We've got ours. And we both have to respect each other. But that's it. And I predict there'll be no, quote, backlash by the Chi-Coms because Shaquille O'Neal's standing strong like we used to do for our basic values. But you look at floundering, arrogant, dumbass LeBron James calling people stupid, and China's good, and Hong Kong's bad. And then he's like, oh, he gets a backlash. Well, I didn't mean that. Well, the manager at the Rockets is still dumb. No, you're a dumbass. You stand for nothing. You don't appreciate the country where you made $450 million. You bitch about it constantly because we're an easy target because we'll put up with your ass. Because we're used to getting pissed on and thinking it's raining. LeBron James. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It puts your ass in a forced labor camp in China. You couldn't dribble that ball. Sorry, I'm ranting. But there's another way they take our speech. When they have secret star chambers in Congress and have these witnesses that come in and say, oh, I heard somebody say Trump said, I'm a businessman. You got to give me something for something, as if Trump would say that. And then the same ambassador goes, actually, I only heard that from other people. They call them in. Well, I heard that from other people. Well, I heard that. And, oh, we can't learn who the original whistleblower is because they'll finally have to say, well, I didn't actually hear it either myself. They're lying. They're playing whack-a-mole with the same deep state neocons that ran the scams looting Ukraine, and they wrote up the Fusion GPS fraud in Ukraine. So it's the very people that ran the last coup attempt against Trump who made all this up again. My God, it should be easy to see through this and defeat these people. It's a slam dunk, to use NBA nomenclature. Definitions are parlance. But the globalists are in a weak position, so they're always flexing, 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 flexing how tough they are. We'll kill Trump, they say on CNN. We'll kill him. Bette Midler is out, that big-ass, ugly pumpkin head, going, I'm glad somebody almost killed Rand Paul. I liked whoever broke six ribs and punctured his lung. When Rand Paul's anti-war, libertarian patriot, real liberals love him, not leftist. I mean, how would Bette Midler like it if somebody broke her ribs? Not that I'm telling somebody to, but, you know, these people are talking talk. They can't walk the walk. And I say Pumpkinhead. I showed the photo shoot of her in the article on InfoWars. And, I mean, she is just one ugly-ass woman. I'm not trying to make personal comments about her, but what the hell is that slug crawling around for? Anyways, I'm digressing. What's ugly is her anti-Americanism. And she wants Rand Paul attacked because of his speech. These aren't liberals. These are authoritarian, dangerous dirtbags. And so the Republicans, led by Jim Jordan, Congressman Scalise, that they shot and tried to kill. This is a war, folks. And Congressman Gates stormed it, shut down the fake court hearings, and then came out and exposed the whole thing. Here's some clips.
Contacts with a whistleblower. And so I'm going to have a few of my colleagues give remarks. And then we're going to try to go in there and we're going to try to figure out what's going on behalf of the millions of Americans that we represent that want to see this Congress working for them and not obsessed with attacking a president who we believe has not done anything to deserve impeachment. Now the Republican whip, Steve Scalise.
Thank you, Matt. What is Adam Schiff trying to hide? I think that's a question so many people have, so many of my colleagues have, so many people in the press should have. Is through those hidden closed doors over there, Adam Schiff is trying to impeach a president of the United States behind closed doors, literally trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election a year before Americans get to go to the polls to decide who's going to be the president. And frankly, it should be the people of this country who decide who's going to be the president, not Nancy Pelosi and not Adam Schiff in secret behind closed doors. The fact that Adam Schiff won't even let the press in. You can't even go in and see what's going on in that room. Voting members of Congress are being denied access from being able to see what's happening behind these closed doors where they're trying to impeach the President of the United States with a one-sided set of rules. They call the witnesses. They don't let anybody else call the witnesses. They don't even let the President's legal counsel question people who are making baseless allegations. Maybe in the Soviet Union, this kind of thing is commonplace. This shouldn't be happening in the United States of America, where they're trying to impeach a president in secret behind closed doors. The American people deserve better. We will demand better for the American people.
I would just say this. Why don't we know? Why don't we know who the person is who started this whole charade that Adam Schiff is now doing in the bunker of the basement of the Capitol? If you look at the whistleblower's complaint, page one of the complaint, he talks about more than half a dozen individuals who formed the basis of his complaint. We have no idea who these folks are. As I said last night on the floor of the House, 435 members of the House representing over 300 million Americans, and the only one of those 435 who know the individuals who started this whole thing, the only one is Adam Schiff. Why don't the rest of us know? More importantly, why don't the American people know? I think the American people, as I said before, they understand fairness, and they instinctively know that what is happening here is not fair. And that's why I want to applaud my colleagues, Whip Scalise and Matt Gaetz and the rest of the team here, for standing up and saying, look, it's time that we know who started this whole thing. The more than half a dozen folks he referenced and said, over the past 4 months, more than half a dozen people have informed me about this complaint that he filed. Who are those people? We've had seven witnesses to date. I don't think any of them have been the ones that the whistleblower, the so-called whistleblower, was referring to. So we need to hear from them, and we need this done in the open so the American people can see.
It's all a giant scam. You call a made-up dossier that paid millions of dollars, like 30-something million dollars, to insiders to make up. They actually paid themselves to make up the dossier, passed it around for years. Now they have a new fancy term, not dossier. Now it's whistleblower. Obama arrested real whistleblowers, put them in prison, unlike any president in 100-plus years. Trump does nothing. He just wants to know who it is, wants to challenge his accuser, because everybody says they're lying, and he has a transcript. Oh, my gosh, I've never seen such tyranny. You're defending yourself. You're talking back to Chucky the God Schumer. And Nancy, Crypt Keeper Pelosi, and all the rest of it. And then they do release some transcripts, and it's Schiff bullying people to say things that didn't happen. And then you even read their star witness, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, who replaced the other one that was a deep stater. And he's like, well, I heard from somebody that Trump said he's a businessman, and they got to give him something. I'm a businessman. You got to give me something. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. And they go, who? Well, I'm not going to say who. Well, that's all right. Well, what happened when the EU ambassador called? Well, he called me up and said, I hear you're saying this. The president didn't say that. Quit saying that. I'm telling you, Fiona Hill and that guy, they're the whistleblowers. That just means they're the deep staters putting the BS crap out. Just like Schiff read that fake transcript in open court. Well, now he's just having a closed one so he can make up whatever he wants. The guy's a criminal.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are in go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this live Thursday, October 24, 2019, Global Transmission. Now, we're going to be talking to investigative journalist Lee Stranahan here in just a moment. Now, before I do that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about something that's just common sense, but something that's so central to everything that the establishment does that I've really been harping on. If you look at corporate news, and if you look at people like Dr. Dean Adel, back when he was syndicated on talk radio, He would get up there and say, you don't need vitamins. You've got all the vitamins and minerals you need. And then he would cite the FDA that continues to lower the recommended daily allowance smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And the European Union has done that. Then I had on all these medical doctors, brain surgeons, scientists, nutritionists, all different types of MDs and other specialists to talk about how the soils are played out of all these trace minerals and how people aren't getting enough minerals and enough vitamins and how most of your diseases and disorders and things are triggered by the fact that you don't have the basic building blocks in your body, so your body can't rebuild. And then a lot of cells will take on poisons that are somewhat similar to other compounds to be able to operate. Like they'll take on fluoride, bromine, anything from the fluorine family on the periodic table if you don't have iodine. It's very simple. And then you get cancer and you die. But they go, oh, it's genetics. That's why cancer is way up. Oh, it's genetics. That's why people aren't living as long. Oh, it's genetics. That's why everybody's getting breast cancer. Well, yeah, you have genetics that if you get a bunch of glyphosate Roundup in you and you're a woman, you're going to grow some breast tumors. They admit that most of those tumors grow from hormones. So they're looking for a cure all day when they know, like we need a cure. We've got lots of gunshot wounds to the head. We need a cure when somebody's been shot in the head with a .44 Magnum. Well, the cure isn't find a way to fix your brains when they're blown out. The key is don't get shot in the head with a .44 Magnum. Don't drink the damn glyphosate. Or don't be deficient in things. And I just saw this article out today. Vitamin D deficiency linked to poor muscular function in seniors. This is from big studies and Trinity College Dublin and a bunch of others. You're like, yeah, tell me something I don't know. Old people get to where they have yeast and candida in their guts, especially. They're not absorbing stuff. Even if they eat food that has it, they're not getting it. The recommended daily allowance doesn't go through the gut. And they basically have living scurvy. Their arms open up. Their teeth fall out. Old wounds open up. You see people with scurvy everywhere. No one tells them they got scurvy. That's just vitamin D. Because anybody that studied knows old people need higher amounts of things. And they need it that's not synthetic. So you actually absorb it and use it. Yeah, you can go buy a multivitamin for $10 at CVS. It's synthetic. And those are toxic. Then they'll use those to go, oh, look, multivitamins in a study found to be toxic. Because they're synthetic. They're not real. A spectrometer will tell you that it's something, but it's not that. Our selenium's bio-true from the mustard seed, the very best. Synthetic selenium does nothing. Do your own research. There's no iodine in the food. Everything's falling apart. People are mentally retarded on the street because, folks, they are deficient. So here it is, vitamin D deficiency linked to poor muscle function in seniors. Maintaining skeletal muscle function, critical to successful aging. So go do your own research. The story's on Infowars.com, Trinity College Dublin. They're like saying fish need water, humans need oxygen, plants need sunshine. I know you already know this, but are you consciously thinking about it? Now, we have 60% off on the tri-iodine and on the X2 deep earth crystal iodine. It's just pure atomic. With a bottle of BioTrue Selenium, 60% off. It's totally changed my life. It changes everybody's life that comes in contact with it. But if your body's been absorbing bad halogens for years, you never had it, take it slow, consult a physician. This is not a game. This is lightning in a bottle, and it funds this operation. There's no reviews yet of the combo because it just got launched 3 days ago. But you can go read the five-star reviews by the thousands of each one of the products separately. Infowarsstore.com. Stop the iodine conspiracy. Wake up the world challenge. And that's how we fund the operation as well. Okay. And we're going to have to end the everything must go. 40-70% off, free shipping, double Patriot points, store-wide deal as well. And there's a bunch of other specials going right now. We have a new It's Okay politically incorrect symbol hat. I'll go into that later. But I really do appreciate all of your support. But we are not even really funding ourselves right now. We go back and forth in the red and the black. We're just like right there. And I want to expand in 2020. I got a lot of big plans, but it's up to you. If you want to see us continue on and get bigger, hopefully, and really fight harder, which I want to do, I'm in your hands, so please take action. Don't wait. You're insane if you don't take good turmeric. We've got the best, or fish oil, or you know, things like good iodine. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. So thank you for the support. Okay, joining us now for the next three segments or so, investigative journalist Lee Stranahan is here. I want to be very clear. I like Brad Parscales. I don't know the guy. He's doing more internet advertising than the other candidates ever done. I think that's smart. I've never really taken political advertising, so I've never really tried to get it. I'm not mad at Parscale about where he's spending his money. That's not my reason for being upset. I continue to be told by people that have never steered me wrong that Parscale is being called a genius by the New York Times and things, and that he's being promoted out there because he's been compromised in some ways, and that he's being sucked into the system, and that people are really concerned about how he controls. He gets $15,000 a month out of the campaign, but he sits at the RNC over all the buying, and he personally is getting the money for that. Ferraris, $6 million of property in Florida just the last month he bought, which is fine if it's free market, but does the public know out of the $400-plus million Trump's raising that Brad Parscale is getting a cut of that, which I know Karl Rove and people did stuff like this in the past. I don't like that, okay? But that I wouldn't even talk about it because it's not that big a deal. What goes on in those parties goes on. My issue is he's talking about political dynasties. He's talking about, you know, all this stuff. Trump's starting to be a little sarcastic, going, oh, there's Brad Parscale, the internet genius. When you start hearing Trump talk like that, it means somebody might be on the way out. I don't know if that's the case. But people that have never steered me wrong about Fiona Hill and about so many others, I mean, a lot of people have been saying that a lot of big donors, a lot of high-powered folks are really concerned about Parscale, and has he been compromised? Do they have blackmail information on him? Because let me tell you, the New York Times comes to people, and they say, we're going to destroy you unless you say bad things about somebody. That they do that to people that know me. And people tell them, you know, go to hell. And so the New York Times is writing positive pieces about Parscale. How it works is you start giving us inside stuff, and then we'll leave you alone. But, you know, you just need to work with us on Trump. He's going down. That's the way this is. You better get ready. That's how this works. Hey, you want the lawsuits to go away? Come out against the Second Amendment and come out against Trump. That stuff goes on. Hey, you want to stop getting threats? Hey, you want people to stop following you around? Hey, you want those threats to stop? Hey, how are your kids doing? Like little kids? You know, this is the stuff that goes on. You know, they shoot you when you're at a baseball field. They break your ribs in your yard. Bette Midler talks about how great it is. And, you know, they come to your house in Kentucky and say they're going to stab you in the chest. When you say it's not right, they're saying they're going to kill you. Twitter blocks you. You're a U.S. senator. Twitter pisses on you. So that's what's going on. So let's have a look at Brad Parscale when we come back with Lee Stranahan. Stay with us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, Lee Stranahan, investigative journalist, joins us. He's written for Breitbart. He's written for the Huffington Post. He's got a syndicated radio show. He's written for Sputnik, you name it. I just call him a populist libertarian type. And he knows Brad Parscale's the Trump head. Let's go ahead and play a clip here of Trump in Minnesota saying this about Parscale's. Here it is.
And our campaign manager, a man who's really been, you know, they used to say that Crooked Hillary had a very, very sophisticated campaign. After she lost, they said, I guess it wasn't sophisticated. We had a sophisticated campaign. Nobody knows the world of computers better than this guy, Brad Parscale.
So I'm sure Brad's a great guy, and I'm just hearing some pretty disturbing stuff from people that haven't steered me wrong yet. So I saw Lee Stranahan worked at his father's company with him and knew him well back when Parscale was in high school and then ongoing for a long time. So Lee, I know you live in D.C. You're there covering it every day, but I hear a lot of what you have to say on a lot of issues. You were the first to really, dig in the modern age here on Ukraine. You've been dead on that. What's the real scoop on Brad Parscale?
Well, I'll tell you what I know, and it's weird and interesting. And you may actually remember, Alex, because you remember a product back in the 90s called the Video Toaster. A lot of cable access channels had it.
There's also bought a product one. Called... I bought one for like $5,000 in like 1997.
So I was the world's foremost expert on the video toaster. I did a series of training. This is back in the 90s. This is back mid-90s. I did a series of training videos.
I remember watching you in those training videos. Didn't a DVD come with a toaster?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I was.
I'm having flashbacks. Okay.
And I had a beard. That's exactly right. So I would do that. And so I worked for this company that made the video toaster called NewTek. They were originally based in Topeka, Kansas, home of the Westboro Baptist Church, coincidentally. So I was there and working in the marketing department. This is mid-90s. And Dwight Parscale took over the company as CEO. He owned a restaurant. He'd run for Congress. And Dwight brought his son in one day and said, hey, this is my son, Brad. He's going to work in tech support. He's interested in computers. And Brad was 17 years old at that point, I think. Big guy, 6'8", I think he is. And Brad worked in tech support. So he was on the line, Alex. If you had a problem with your video toaster, you may have talked to Brad back in 1997, because that's when he was working with it. Then Dwight Parscale moved the whole company to San Antonio. And that's when I ended up living in Austin because I was consulting for NewTek. And Brad ended up becoming, he moved with them, ended up going to college there. But also there was a company called Electric Image. They made 3D software. He became CEO of that company. So I want to point out one thing about Brad. He does come from a fairly well-to-do family. I don't want to say ultra rich, but well-to-do enough. And then,
but would you? I mean, it sounds like he's a go-getter, though. He didn't just get a silver spoon.
No, he didn't. He was working in tech support, and that was the bottom rung. If you wanted to start at NewTek, you started at tech support. And I've talked to people at NewTek since then, and it's really weird to all of us that I'm in D.C. and I'm an investigative reporter in the White House sometimes. And that Brad Parscale is the campaign manager for Trump. It's very strange because NewTek was a kind of famous in Topeka and sort of famous in San Antonio, but kind of an obscure company. Right?
No, but it's thinking, where's this from? And because toasters weren't good, they were inexpensive compared to expensive software. Like the other competing ones were like $50,000 to $100,000, but you could buy a toaster. I want to think like $5,000 to $10,000.
It was $5,000 with the Amiga. It was $24.95.
See, my memory's pretty good, though. Yeah, I paid like $5,000 for it.
It is. That's exactly right. And it came with 3D software that was used on Steven Spielberg projects and blah, blah, blah. And so it was a big product. I'll tell you what it was. You'll appreciate this, Alex. It was really populist video. It was video. It was the first video product, which is why I was interested in it. It may seem like a weird change. Like, well, how did that guy go from video to politics?
No, but it was revolutionary to be able to give somebody a graphics software that worked really
good.
And wasn't $50,000.
And so Brad knows his stuff. He really, when Trump says Brad knows what he's talking about, Brad knows what he's talking about.
Okay, then what do I do about these sources that have never steered me wrong that are saying that, look out, the New York Times is saying he's a whiz kid, he's a great guy. Why would they be doing that when all they want to do is destroy Trump?
Well, there could be a few reasons. Number one, they may want an in with him. They may want to be able to talk to him as the campaign goes forward and try to get stuff. And they know you get more bees with honey. forgive me, I'm a little under the weather today, Alice. But
I understand.
It could be that. I've had, you'll see occasional good pieces from the New York Times, but I agree, I would be suspicious. Let me say something about the money he's made, because I've also worked in campaign advertising. And generally speaking, Alex, you and I are in the wrong business. The money in politics is not in journalism. It is in ads. And those, like you mentioned, you're completely right. When you do an ad buy, it is customary that you get like 15% of the ad buy. That is completely everybody from Rove to me working on local races in Maryland.
The difference is he controls the whole campaign. So how is the campaign head also the guy personally? I think only Rove's done that and a few others. I mean, I know they do it, and I know everybody gets the 15%, but most people aren't getting 15% of the whole enchilada.
Well, and don't forget, his company, Parscale Giles, made $94 million, Alex, during the original Trump campaign. Now, I got to say, that's a lot of money. There is a tremendous amount of money in politics. I'm not saying Brad made $94 million, but the company did. And I'm sure he took home a decent chunk of that. And video production is still a great cash cow because it's one of those things where the price on it is nebulous. What you could pay $100 for a campaign ad or $1 million, and you know, it's a, sort of the same thing. So when I saw Brad, now I've seen Brad twice in the past 2 or 3 years over at the Trump Hotel. I would be there, and it was just like, wow, weird. And so Brad and I caught up a little bit. But you talked about my reporting on Ukraine. When we come back, let's talk about one reason they could be setting up Brad, actually. They could be setting him up to take a fall.
Well, that's the word I get, is that the sharks are circling him. I mean, I was told a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't told it was off record, but I don't want to hurt Brad Parscale because I don't have a bad feeling about him. And I also, you know, think he's, you know, he's spending most of the money on the internet. No one else is doing it. And I think that's smart. And even the New York Times says, oh, Trump's winning the war on the internet. Well, when it comes to their ads, but they've undercut everybody else that was just promoting Trump for free, like us. Like, I didn't get a red cent. All I've gotten is almost bankrupted by supporting Trump. And so, a little irritating to hear some folks talk about, he bought a $6 million house last week. You know, he drives a $300,000 Ferrari. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't think people, and I don't want to hurt Trump's fundraising. I just, if they've raised $450 million, I want to see, you know, not, what's 15% of that? My gosh, that is a lot of money. You know, we're talking about $45, $50 million, $60 million, you know, going into the guy that brokers that. I'd like to see that $60 million, like Trump gave back his salary. Well, I'd like to see Parscale, you know, give back half of that into the campaign or something. I mean, I'm sure $25 million is enough. You know, I mean, hell, we're still a year out from the election. Or, you know what?
Right.
I mean, let's say Trump raises $2 billion. So does, right. does Parscale get, you know, $250 million?
Well, first off, it's probably his company. And the answer could be, yeah, because, again, the company made $94 million in the first cycle. And I agree with you. I will say that I think, and I've made it, I was working on a Senate race up in South Dakota, a small state, a few years ago, and working for not top tier candidates. I made $40,000 in a month. That's good money, right? And that's one person, you know, who knows how to edit.
And that's wonderful. So, it's just that when you're the campaign head and then you sit over the company and you're raking in 15% on $450 million, and then meanwhile, we're all having our asses handed to us. It's a little bit irritating here.
Yeah,
what if Trump loses by a half point? And we know if Parscale spent that money in campaign ads, he'd have won. We'd rather have Parscale have five Ferraris, or would we rather have Trump in the White House?
Yeah, well, I think he is a key to winning, especially now, I got to say. But look, I agree with you broadly. I don't like the I think there's too much money. I agree with that. But what are you going to do, Cap? You know, at a certain point, hopefully maybe there's a little bit of heat on him and he starts to put that in. But
you're a smart guy, so I want to over the horizon radar how you think they're trying to set him up, because that's the word.
Yeah.
Is he being set up? Have they already set him up? Is he in the jaws? Can we get him out of the jaws? I just have heard some very disturbing things I'm not going to say on air until I flesh this out. We're just doing it out here in the open, because I've sworn I'm not holding anything back, folks.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
I usually stay out of campaign minutia, but I've had three different people I respect bring up Parscale back during the last campaign and then since then, and some of the things I was told have been confirmed later, and I can just tell you that some of the things would not be good for the president if it was shown the president knew those things. And so let's just say this, there's a lot of people circling around Parscale's for obvious reasons, because they want to sabotage the campaign. They want an end. He's got to know that there's going to be no love from the New York Times or any of these groups. They're totally bought and paid for by the enemy and committed. So the question is he a good guy? They're just circling because he is a good guy. Are they planning to compromise him? Have they already compromised him? You had some Ukraine points. Please continue. Lee Stranahan, investigative journalist.
Well, so here's one thing that's interesting. By the way, I'm not denying what you're saying because I haven't looked into it that far. He's just like, Brad's a guy I've known. But one of the things that's interesting is, you know, I've been on this Ukraine story, and Alex, you have been one of the places we've been able to get the truth out. Nobody wants to talk about Ukraine. We were on your show talking about it 2 years ago when everyone was ignoring it. And Brad Parscale, about 2 weeks ago, retweeted something that I'd posted and said, he said on Twitter, I've known Lee for 30 years back from Kansas. And he said, he's probably right on Ukraine. And he said, keep digging. And that created Brad Parscale just retweeting me and saying that. I got about 3,000 Twitter followers like overnight, like almost immediately. And so I'm appreciative of that. Now, what happened was immediately people started, because I work for Sputnik, which is Russian government funded.
No, I saw them attack you claiming that Trump's supporting a Russian bot.
And they attacked Brad Parscale and said, and this guy, Lawrence Tribe, who's at Harvard University, worked with a Gore campaign and stuff like that. Lawrence Tribe came out and said that Brad and I should be investigated because he's getting Russian government influence in the campaign. It was crazy. And so I know that Brad, by the way, Brad's posted some people who I don't think get the Ukraine story right as well. So I don't think he follows it.
I respect you
that closely.
And that's why I had you on. And so then I think so far the verdict is Brad Parscale is a good guy. They're just writing nice pieces about him to try to gain influence. Is he smart, or has he figured out that he doesn't want to let the New York Times get anywhere near him?
Well, he's probably figured out. No, he probably hasn't figured it out completely yet. You know, you and I did an event, Alex, with, you remember, Chuck E. Cheese, the rat, and where I was attacked by the New York Times for my Twin Falls reporting about the refugee rapes up there. And the New York Times, they spent hours with me, Alex. The reporter spent literally 8 hours. I gave him everything. I figured, okay, if I'm nice to these people and open up my notebook, here's what I've got. They'll be nice. Boom. Major hit piece that was then picked up by Comedy Central. And so I agree with you, but I think this is one of those things where until you've been stung, as you have, Alex, and I have, it's hard to know.
The New York Times jab its stinger into Trump all day long.
No, I know. But then, you know, what happens is you'll talk to a Times reporter, and I know Times reporters, and you talk to them. And these are ones who haven't stabbed me in the back. But I talked to Times reporters and like, yeah, you know, I don't really control all the editorial and you can't control everything. But I will say Brad has done a great job. And you're right, Alex, you're completely right. Him focusing on digital, using social media and stuff like that was a big key. And when all the high tech companies are biased, we need a guy like Brad Parscale in there right now, I think. I agree, though, about the money.
Well, then let's shift gears off of him. And let me ask you about this witch hunt, the Star Chamber trials that are going on, and the backlash to that, and what the latest intel is on the impeachment move.
Patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So on Monday in the secret Star Chamber, we had the former ambassador to Ukraine, who was a known globalist, testify in secret. Part of it came out that he heard Trump did quid pro quo from someone else. It is more of the same. Whistleblowers heard from somebody, but all the eyewitnesses say it didn't happen, and there's a transcript. It didn't happen. Meanwhile, you've got quid pro quo with Hillary and all the rest of these people running around with their foundations and all of these systems that are openly paper play. They get caught doing it. It's just crazy. And you see Schiff that has famously been caught reading fake transcripts of Trump calls. Well, that didn't work. So now he has secret events and then leaks out lies about what was said at those. This is the death of due process. And then we've got big national polls out. The story's up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. It's also top linked, at least it was earlier, at DrudgeReport.com, where we've got big national studies and polls where the majority of Americans polled say restrict free speech, and 60% of millennials just say get rid of it and arrest people if they're politically incorrect. I mean, all of this comes together in a very dangerous combination, a very dangerous constellation, and then you just hear impeach, impeach, we've got the smoking gun, it's all over, no one can stop it, Trump's about to be gone, and then you go look, and it's always empty, but over and over and over again. What do you think the strategy is there? Where is it going? And what is the latest in D.C. on the attempt to impeach Trump?
Well, okay, well, let's be really clear what's going on. This is a cover-up attempt and a deep state coup. The fact that there's no whistleblower. These are CIA agents. These are CIA agents who are revealing confidential information that they got secondhand. And as far as I'm concerned, Gina Haspel, who's the head of the CIA, she should be called on the carpet for this because it's her agents who are doing it and probably forced to resign. So that the CIA aspect, like I say, I don't want to call it a whistleblower because that is an insult to real whistleblowers like my friend John Kiriakou, or Julian Assange, people like that. Julian's a publisher, but you know what I'm saying? It's an outrage. But part of what's going on here is a cover-up, Alex. And I talked about how Brad Parscale had retweeted me about Ukraine. Well, one of the people attacking him was Ali Chalupa, Alexandra Chalupa. And she is the woman that you and I have talked about before who was literally colluding with the Ukrainian embassy while working as a DNC operative. Look, and WikiLeaks published it. Anybody can look up Ali Chalupa, like the delicious taco-style treat. Ali Chalupa. If you look that up, Ali Chalupa WikiLeaks, you'll find the email where she sent it to the communications director of the DNC. So she's the one out there. Now, what they're trying to cover up, Alex, is this whole operation was set into place before any of the so-called Russian interference even happened. And it was a guy named Cody Shearer. Cody Shearer working with Sid Blumenthal. You know who Sid Blumenthal is. Cody Shearer is the operative who's worked with the Clintons since the 70s. He's been friends with them since the late 60s. And he worked with them in the 91 campaign as well as showing up all throughout the Clintons thing. Hillary secretly from her secret private email server talked to way to go, Cody, in an email with Sid Blumenthal after he intervened in Libya. So what happened was you got a Sid Blumenthal, Cody Shearer operation that started in March of 2016, before the hack, before anything was even alleged to happen. And you've heard of the Steele dossier, right? The Shearer dossier is called, if you look into it, which was sent to the FBI, by the way, it's called the second dossier. That's what it's called. That's not the second dossier. It's the first dossier because Steele didn't start writing his dossier till June. The problem is people didn't hear about the Shearer dossier until second, but he was doing this in March. And Lee Smith, who writes at Real Clear Investigations, has seen that dossier. And he says it's basically a template for the Steele dossier. So what you had is people who were as connected to Clinton as you can possibly get. Cody Shearer, Sid Blumenthal, Strobe Talbot, who was Bill Clinton's Oxford roommate, and is Cody Shearer's brother-in-law. They were working on this very early. Meanwhile, Alexander Chalupa is going to the Ukrainian embassy. All these people connect to Ukraine, by the way. Strobe Talbot is a big Putin hater. He was the head of Brookings Institute. You talked about Fiona Hill before. She spent 20 years working for Strobe Talbot at the Brookings Institute.
So let me raise this question. How did Trump get McMaster and then Fiona Hill in there? And why can't he get good people around him?
Well, what happens is he's a business. This is my take. And some people like to demonize the president. I don't. I think he's a business guy. He's new to D.C., literally new to D.C. And you know what? When you look at the people's resume, you go, well, look at that. Brookings Institute. It's been 20 years, blah, blah, blah. It sounds good, right? McMaster was with the, OSS. I forget what I'm not getting the name right, but it's a Soros-funded group. They look good on paper. And everyone is telling you, well, hey, these are the guys you can trust. People like Ira Greenstein, who was on
And they'll tell you that they're loyal. And that's why I brought up the whole Parscale thing, is I'm sure he's a great guy. All I'm getting at here is that you see the New York Times doing all these positive pieces. It makes you worry. But I think you're probably right. They're probably just doing that to ingratiate themselves and to get close. You know, now they're doing positive pieces about PewDiePie because the attempts to intimidate him haven't worked. That's why I knew you knew him. I brought it up. So that makes me, you know, feel good about it. Because why worry about Parscale? We know Trump trusts the campaign a lot more than he does what's going on in the White House. More and more of the good stuff that Trump gets done is through the campaign. I would just really like to see Trump call for the release of the journalist Julian Assange. That's really upsets me about Trump is he told Assange release that stuff, and Assange reportedly in a hearing a few days ago couldn't even really talk. He was so sick from ongoing solitary confinement.
Horrible. Yeah, he was. The experts have said he exhibited signs of being a torturer. He was acting the same way a torture suspect. I'll tell you one reason I trust Parscale more than certain other people. It's not just because I've known him. He does know the tech stuff. Again, money is the corrupting influence of politics. So again, I agree there's concerns there, but he's been with Trump since 2011. Before the campaign, he was doing work for the Trump Organization.
Internet stuff.
Yep, that's right. So he's one of those guys who's been around for a while, and I do know the guy's a patriot. You know, I mean, he's...
Well, then that's all that matters to me, then. I'm going to have to call the people back and say, why is there this, you know, campaign of stuff going on and people saying these things?
But, you know, I get it. You brought up Assange. That's a really important deal. The other thing that's going on that very few people are talking about right now is, we did this a couple of days ago, Brett Kimberlin, the convicted serial bomber, who was also working with Alexander Chalupa, who goes back to Cody Shearer to the 90s. So the real story about Ukraine, the real story is all out there. Everything I told you, you can find. Read that Lee Smith.
No, I understand. It was a big corrupt thing where the deep state's been laundering money, going back to the Cold War, and it's been a playground for Soros and others. And Trump has been burrowing into that, and it pisses him off. And so they're panicking. But I think overall, the impeachment has boosted Trump with his constituents. But it's still a danger because I think they're going to, you know, they might be able to twist enough arms with people like Romney in there to get the votes they need in the Senate. That's why I'm so concerned.
They don't have to twist Romney's arm.
No, that's what I meant. With people like Romney, they can go in and twist arms.
He's compliant. I mean, but I'm saying Romney's one of the best. The same with Lindsey Graham. By the way, when it came to Ukraine, Lindsey Graham was pals with John McCain, who were both as bad on the Ukraine story as you could get.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And then Trump had to say, hey, Lindsey, support me for him to even condemn what's happening in the House, which shows, though, pressure is good. So keep pressure on all of those senators, especially the Republicans, because let me tell you, I think they're going. Do you agree with me, though, that they're really trying to get Trump out? I mean, this is a real attempt.
Oh, yeah. They are, because I'll tell you what they really want to do. They want to stop Barr and Durham. They are scared to death. And you hear all the silence coming from Durham. That's what a professional investigation sounds like.
All right, Lee Stranahan, thank you so much. Robert Barnes in studio. Stay with us. Infowars.com, tomorrow's news today. Constitutional lawyer, and I'm telling you, a really smart guy, because I have a lot of general knowledge, and this guy knows what he's talking about, and then some. Robert Barnes riding shotgun with us. He's going to be hosting the fourth hour. Our guest host had a family emergency. He'll be hosting sometime next week. The former NFL pro bowler turned super patriot will be hosting next week. If you go to drudgereport.com, I still want you to get the story. It's linked over on the left-hand side. Poll, majority of Americans want First Amendment rewritten. It's a Free Beacon article. Paul wrote about it, and most of it is the Free Beacon. I bet they called up Drudge or said, hey, man, that's our story. But it doesn't matter to me as long as it gets out. Majority of Americans want First Amendment rewritten. And the big story is that they had the First Amendment organization come out and do this poll. And I wanted to bring this up to our lawyer friend. A new poll has found that majority of Americans want to rewrite the First Amendment to reflect the cultural norms of today in order to stop hate speech. The survey indicates free speech is under more threat than previously believed, according to Campaign for Free Speech, who conducted the poll. 51% of Americans want to see the First Amendment rewritten, while more than 60% agree with restricting free speech in some way. Nearly 60% of millennials, who also say they're communists, 50%, agree with the Constitution goes too far in allowing hate speech in modern America. So they think hate speech, like Trump's free speech, you know, that new invention they got rid of speech in Europe with, and should be done over, compared to 48% of Gen Xers, 47% of baby boomers. Most millennials also support laws that would make hate speech a crime. 54% want jail time for offenders, and it's whatever the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL defines. And this is a little ad I'm going to do here for you. The ADL came out this month, just a few weeks ago, and said, this is a hate symbol. Ban anybody using it. All those old 7-Up ads, Obama doing it. Well, it's okay when they do. But if you say, hey, dinner's A-okay, or you say, you know, I like Trump, because 4chan did a joke, they say it's banned. And this is about these groups being high priest and being able to decide what language you can use and remove things out of the lexicon, out of the nomenclature, out of the alphabet. It is extremely dangerous. So we have this very nice hat. This hat costs like $10 a piece with the OK symbol on it. Very nicely done. InfoWars on the back, very well made, very lightweight, very nice. This is one of my daily wearers right now, or the one I have in my truck is. And it's a snapback, authentic. This company was set up in 1974, Yupong. So it's a top quality hat, 1995. Free shipping, double Patriot points. So we're making like $5 on this hat because, again, the shipping cost is like $5. That is a really, really good deal. We sell a lot of hats like this. This is a brand new hat, so we haven't sold any of these yet. It hasn't been reviewed. But let's go ahead and play that clip I was mentioning earlier. Remember earlier this year, let me show people some of these articles. Remember what happened at the Cubs game. OK is now a hate symbol. The ADL says that was just 2 weeks ago. So think about that. Think about that level of control. Family outrage after Universal character made OK symbol on six-year-old's shoulder. What? Oh, my gosh. Is the OK sign racist? Cubs fan hand gesture sparks outrage and confusion. What it really means is you support Trump in that context. He was banned for life. In fact, here's some of the video of that happening.
The gesture was made behind when they were playing the Miami Marlins. Doug Glanville is a former major leaguer and MLB analyst now, and the gesture was made behind him. And by the way, Doug Glanville is African-American. And now this fan, who is white, made this symbol.
So they're just looking for something. This is all Smollett-type behavior. Banned for life for doing it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to counter this. There's even an NBA, you know, top three-pointer who has a symbol similar to this. I mean, are they going to get rid of it in the Apple emojis and the Android emojis? This is insane. This is the international symbol for OK. Or when a chef says, you know, this is, or you say it's delicious. They know what they're doing, don't they, Robert?
Well, no doubt. I was the first one to bring suit on this. So I brought suit for Cassandra Fairbanks against a range of against a media personality who falsely said that saying the A-OK, doing that in the White House in that particular instance, was racist when it wasn't racist. Cassandra Fairbanks is part Puerto Rican. I've met her mother, who is truly, you know, Puerto Rican to the bone.
She's a lovely lady.
Absolutely. They knew that this is a universal sign of OK, everything's good, everything's cool, everything's kosher. Dre, popular African-American figures have used it throughout history. So the idea that this has any kind of racism is ludicrous and insane. It's an attempt to control and curb speech. And the ADL originally admitted that this was not at all. They originally admitted that that gesture was not at all racist. And like this nonsense of the WP, that's an entirely, it's a two, people used to use two hands to do the white power symbol. This has never been a white power symbol.
And this is like
ever.
Some esoteric, weird white supremacist thing in prison as a gang sign back because it means, yeah, you know, the W or something. People do it as a joke because the left doesn't like it. It's a symbol of you're not going to control what I say and what I do. And they really hate it because Trump constantly does it. I constantly do it. It means when you make a key point, you do that.
Exactly, because it is a universally recognized OK symbol around the world. It's an international national symbol. And the what it is they want to ban certain speech and ban certain images simply because somebody else may misappropriate them, or in this case, a meme that was meant as a joke. I mean, the same 4chan people were trying to get people to ban milk by making milk a racist symbol. They were just trying to show how absurd the language control and speech control
are. Well, exactly. And then some of the left picked it up. BuzzFeed thought it was real and said milk is racist.
Exactly, which is insane. It shows the degree to which they have lost their sense of perspective. So the idea that this, which the reason why Trump uses it, Trump uses a lot of subtle hand signals that communicate not racism, but communicate approval. And so he uses that as, hey, this is okay. This is what I'm doing is okay. What I'm saying is okay. It's just a way of reaffirming.
Well, honestly, when I grew up, when I was a little kid, I saw people in 7-Up commercials everywhere use it. I just always liked it.
Yeah.
And then some people online go, look, Jones is doing the 666, because I guess that means three sixes. I guess you could line it up. That's insane. Like looking at clouds and saying they're racist because you see Hitler mustache. Remember the teapot that JCPenney had where it cast a shadow on the silver face where it might look like a mustache?
Right.
And they're arresting people for Hitler dog? This is mental illness being projected on the public where they can ban any symbol they want whenever they want.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to put up with it. I wear this hat out proudly.
They want to control speech. They want to control thought. And it's an extension of that. It's an attempt to say...
Look, that's not a joke.
Yeah, see, exactly.
PETA says it's white supremacist.
I mean, this is insane. That's just, it's so illogical.
Until you realize...
If I drink chocolate milk, does that mean I believe in black supremacy or something?
They know they're taking over the language.
Right, that's what they want to do. This is a very Foucault concept from the old academic structure that language is entirely subjective and that you can redefine it, that language is power, and that you can create power by owning the language and getting to define what is and isn't.
And that's why people that have gone through college now, I remember hearing this like 5 years ago, I was at Barton Springs, big open pool here in Austin, rock bottom, you know, natural spring. And there were two Hispanic guys, obviously stoned. I just swam a mile, got out, landed on the grass. And they're going, hey, man, I want some Chinese food. And the other guy goes, you can't say that. That's racist. And they thought saying Chinese, because they've gotten rid of Chinese New Year.
Right.
It's now the Lunar New Year. Even saying Chinese food now. And she's like, oh, everything. It's total mental illness.
Yeah. I mean, in Chinatown, they celebrated as Chinese New Year. Been to Hong Kong for Chinese New Year. It's fantastic. They do a wonderful celebration.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because we've got a video from Prager University now on cultural appropriation. I'm going to copy this. It's not stealing. It's copying. And we need to all go out and, you know, imitate things that are successful and show the results you get in your area, just like jaywalking inspired, you know, what we do and what Mark Dice does. Video, cultural appropriation, myth destroyed. It's on InfoWars.com. Please share it after we show it to you on the other side. Then we're going to shift gears into campaign 2020. And this guy's a top handicap.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes is our guest. I want to play part of this report and then get his take on it, because those of us, you the viewers, and I'm not kissing your butt, it's true, that understand how the world works and understand that the ideals of America is what made us so wealthy, so powerful, so successful. Geographically, we're not that big of a country. Russia's almost four times bigger than us. At the end of World War II and into the 50s, we had 4% of the world's population, over half the wealth. Well, that's pretty much gone now because we gave up on our basic freedoms. And now they have major studies out where the majority of millennials say arrest people for anything that the professors say is hate speech. They're the new gods. So video, cultural appropriation myth destroyed. Prager U's Will Witt hit the UCLA campus to find out if students would be offended by his traditional Chinese outfit. I'm going to go out to UT and wear this OK sign. And when they say, yeah, I agree, it's bad, I'm going to say, OK, so Obama can't do it.
Right.
Okay, 7-Up commercials can't do it. Everybody does it.
Absolutely.
The professor will say they're on the hate speech boards that San Francisco and New York have set up where, oh, we decided you discriminated, $250,000 fine if you say illegal alien.
Right. And when that is, in fact, the correct legal term. I mean, the illegal alien comes
directly. Explain that. When you go to Mexico on your forms, it says alien from where?
Correct. And our statutes define people who are not a citizen, who do not have a legal visa to be here, work visa or otherwise.
Unlawful alien.
Alien. That's the term. And if you're an alien that you can be an alien resident, then you're legally here. So to distinguish alien, those who are citizens versus not, aliens, the legal term of art, and to distinguish between those who are legally here and not legally here as aliens, it's illegal alien. So that's just the legal term. That's the term you would use in court. That's what the legal term is. So it's the correct term to use. So the fact that some people find it in the press and other political areas find it offensive, when it's the correct legal terminology. I mean, what are they going to say? You can't use the word free speech anymore because they find it offensive in some contexts. And
going back to ancient Rome and places, if you translate it into the Latin, they would say outsider, or it translates alien.
Yeah.
That just means from outside.
Correct. Exactly. That's all it's ever meant. So it just means someone who's not part of the community, part one, and then whether they're legally here or illegally here, that's just it, legally or illegal. There's no other way to characterize it, no other way to define it. It really is, they're adopting some of the craziest applications of sort of the Foucault subjective language's power idea, and they're trying to manifest it across. It just like saying...
It is Foucaultian.
It is.
But if you expand on that, when I come into the U.S., and that's constitutional, they check my passport.
Yep.
They know there's warrants or whatever. You're passing port. That's the membrane of the nation that protects it from pirates and bad things and people coming in with the plague or whatever. But then literally they let illegal aliens just through now, or secret flights like the EU does and under Obama the U.S. does, from Somalia of all places, sometimes thousands a night coming in secret. So it's a deep state that's literally UN run under the treaty until Trump withdrew 2 years ago, bringing people in under our nose illegally, but then saying if we want to check who they are, we're the bad guys.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's the idea is that if you control language, you control people, and then if you control who the population is, then you control the country as a whole. And so there's been an effort to use immigration to change the nature of the country politically to have more influence over the domestic citizen population. And it's backfired almost everywhere where they've done this on a mass scale.
Let's look at the Panopticon before we play this video, since you raised this point. One of Foucault's points is the old French prison where you've got the spire in the middle, and then everybody with the guards in it with a circular prison around it, so they always feel like they're being watched. Well, you know, the establishment doesn't run out as many hit teams or kill as many people domestically as the CIA did, say, said during the 70s at its peak when they were killing probably conservatively thousands a year because they could get away with it. Their own surveillance grid now has caught them, where now it's the deep state's grinding to a halt because it's just, it is panopticonic, and they've been, they're falling into their own pit.
I mean, the whole idea is, you know, why did we design prisons the way we did, and why would you design punishment the way we did, and why do we treat insane people different over time? And so there was a part of Foucault's analysis that was historically correct, which is that the way in which we treat punishment says something about our system of society, and that our society is shifting from public punishment to private punishment, from a mechanism of public shame to private surveillance, reflected a shift of the goal of the state and the way it was reflecting its ideology through punishment to the broader population. But now they're taking some of the wackier components of applications of Foucault and saying, well, if we can control language, we can control the public. We can control thought. We can control speech.
And now they're just removing the language so it's physically impossible to communicate with someone, like Idiocracy. So here's part of the PragerU, and this is what I found. You dress up like a cowboy and you go out to South Dakota to a rodeo and you're not really a cowboy. They can tell. They're going to think it's cute. They're going to probably offer you a beer. They're going to laugh, say, hey, you want to, you know, ride a bull or whatever, as a joke. They're not going to be insulted. Well, it's the same thing. If you go to Japan and you wear traditional garb, they're going to think that you think it's cool. And that's what PragerU found. They already knew that, but it doesn't matter. You want to dress up like a Chinaman from 200 years ago, that's your right. And people are projecting on that it's meant to offend, but you have a right to offend. So this guy wearing this, you can't see as a radio listener, they're cussing at him, they're yelling at him, white students, black students, Hispanic students. But then he goes to Chinatown and talks to people who've just gotten here and who speak Chinese. They love it. They come running over. They think it's cool. You know, it'd be like if I had mariachi band to one of my company parties. Leftists would think, what are you making fun of Mexicans? Actually, I've hired mariachi band before for a party. No, it's because it's fun. And I hired I was at a steakhouse once and heard this jazz band playing Star Wars music. Deet, 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 deet. I hired them for a party, you know, because it's fun. Like when I'm in Mexico, I go to whatever the best mariachi restaurant is and eat steaks with real mariachi band. I mean, big ones. It's fun. But see, it doesn't matter. If I wanted to offend, I can do it. Here's part of the report.
Ni hao, friends. This is Will Witt with PragerU. Today we are at UCLA talking to college students about my costume for Halloween and wondering what they think about cultural appropriation. Let's do it. Oh. Do you like my outfit?
No.
No? Why not? Ni hao. Ni hao. Ni hao. Do people know what ni hao means? It means hello. Ni hao. Hello. But come back and talk to me. Did you get that? What's up, man? How you doing? You like my costume?
You are a
show. Do you think this is cultural appropriation? Cultural appropriation?
Oh, man, you're some...
Yes? Wait, come talk to me. Yeah. It is not Chinese Awareness Month, but Halloween is coming up. You like my outfit?
I mean, not particularly.
Why are you wearing it?
To celebrate Chinese people for Halloween.
I think that is cultural appropriation.
Someone's culture or what they wear isn't a costume.
Fair enough.
How dumb these people are.
You think like eating Chinese food is like cultural appropriation?
No, I eat Chinese food.
You just up for it.
Just celebrating Chinese culture.
Let's be clear. China and Japan have all adopted Western dress. Are they bad?
You know,
exactly.
They adopted our weapons. Here, let's keep going.
Attire.
It's Chinese. But, you shouldn't assume.
Oh, whoa. A
little racist of you.
What's up?
These people think they're inventing something when they find something they can say is bad, really? So they're an authority.
Yes. Because it's a... It's from another cultural tradition.
How dumb these guys
that
are.
Not really... something you should be, like, using as a costume, really.
Now he's in Chinatown.
I look good?
Good.
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 He likes it.
Good. Awesome. Does my outfit make you mad?
No, good.
Good?
Yeah.
Shay, Shay. Is that thank you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have to be Chinese to wear this?
You don't have to. Anybody can wear.
What do you think of my outfit?
I really like your outfit.
They have been put into the brainwashing.
You really like
it? Most of them tried to escape communism.
Good?
There's a lot more of this on Infowars.com. We'll be right back and handicap the election and get Barnes's take on the latest and the impeachment and the secret star chamber tribunals. And he's going to be hosting the fourth hour. Stay with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do intend to take a lot of phone calls tomorrow, but we do have a very special guest with some really big information on a lot of fronts and really a warning to the president as well. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm very excited about it. Get butterflies because the system does not want you to hear this information. Robert Barnes is here. He'll be hosting the fourth hour, and it's up to him what he's going to cover, what he wants to do. If you want to give the number out, too, that's up to you. You can take calls. I know you like calls.
Yeah.
So much more. So Robert Barnes is here. But let's start getting into finishing up on the free speech. What do you make of this big study? It's linked up on DrudgeReport.com. We've got it up on Infowars.com as well by a big polling group. And the majority of millennials want to arrest people for their speech. That's pretty scary.
I mean, that's what's happening on college campuses. They've been developing their speech codes. They've been developing attacks and approaches that basically are getting people to not believe in free speech anymore. And they really don't understand the consequences of that. They don't appreciate the consequences of that. They don't realize that this is one of the greatest achievements of the American Revolution for the entire world. That once you give the state the power to control speech, whether it's through civil lawsuits, whether it's through criminal punishment, whether it's through university speech codes, whether it's through any kind of structure, you pose a direct and imminent and immediate risk to the free expansion of free thought, free ideas, and a free press. Because you don't have free thought, you don't have free expression, you don't have free democracies, you don't have free elections, unless you have free speech. That is the premise behind all of it that fuels all of it. And so it's a frightening thing. It reflected like at the peak of the Cold War, they did a poll and they found that they could get a majority of Americans to identify the Declaration of Independence as something that should be banned as a communist document. It's that kind of ideology. It's that kind of approach that basically terrifies those who believe in the fundamental American freedoms and American liberties. And you're seeing it in a range of civil cases. You're seeing it in a range of criminal cases like the recent criminal Connecticut case. that you're seeing it on college campuses. And so these millennials have been conditioned to believe from public education all the way back to high school and through college that free speech is not something they should believe in. They should focus more on someone else's emotional safety than whether an idea is true and having a widest, broadest expression of ideas.
And they think authoritarianism is now a virtue because they have been brought up in these schools and with the politically correct television and with everyone bowing and, you know, trying to tie themselves in bigger loops now where one of the biggest tampon manufacturers just took women, the word woman, off of it because it might upset a man that thinks he's a woman. Well, then he thinks it's a woman. He ought to love it when he sticks them in his rear end. I mean, this is the insanity where nurses are being fired in the UK for not doing pap smears on a man's penis. A pap smear, ladies and gentlemen, is on the cervix entering the uterus. It is not in a man's anatomy. But this is the mass mental illness where the world cycling champion is a biological man. This is a war on reality, and people are giving up their birthright, fought and paid for in blood, sweat, and tears of free speech. Because once you lose your speech, it's constantly being redefined, and they're constantly making you do more for your speech. And then they're seeing secret things or your speech, like a ad for Tiffany's where the woman covers her eye and has the diamond on, and some of the protest group in Hong Kong did that symbol and, you know, saying they're covering their face from face scanners. And so they apologize to the communist Chinese. There's no level now. You can't have a diamond ad with a woman covering her face. Is there no level to which you will not bow?
The whole system is designed increasingly to make sure that people think correctly rather than they think well. And so you go back to people like Professor Christopher Lash, who said the reason why you engage people who disagree with you is that it is in your emotional offend, you being emotionally offended by this person disagreeing with you leads you to research and better develop your ideas, better develop the facts behind your ideas. The more controversial or provocative a statement is, the more likely it is you're going to become better self-educated about your ideas.
That's right. Bad speech elicits speech that's accurate, and that creates a navigational system in the mind and the psyche. But if you don't have that, it's like plants in zero gravity. They don't grow right. They die.
Exactly.
You need the atmosphere. You need the wind, the rain, the sun. You need to be able to be shown bad ideas. The truth is the globalists are pushing bad ideas. They don't want the sunlight, the good ideas.
Exactly. And they care more about what you think than that you think. And that the purpose of the free speech clause is to make sure that people have the competency and capability to think for themselves and to evaluate things for themselves and have the competency, skill set, toolkit to be able to think. And that means challenging and confronting ideas with which they disagree.
This is a war on civilization. And everybody knows more diverse speech, that is the type of diversity that's good. The diversity of thought. You get rid of diversity of thought, you've got a big problem. You've got a cult on your hands. Now, you're going to be doing handicapping the election, getting any impeachment yourself, all of that, calls if you want when you host the fourth hour. But I rarely play something twice, but I want to play clip 14 and 15 because you've been talking about from the beginning, it's not a real impeachment proceeding. You said this 3 weeks ago. It's just true, but nobody knew that at the time. They're not even having a real procedure for the real process because they're having a fake secret hearing to then have their fake evidence that can't be challenged to then just have an up-down vote, which isn't a legitimate impeachment process and itself is impeachable. I know they have impeachment in the House and the Senate. We've seen the Senate begin to have votes on condemning the Democrats, and they voted along party lines. But here's Matt Gaetz, Steve Scalise, and Jim Jordan breaking down the fact that they're having these secret star chambered events. Then as a constitutional lawyer, one of the top out there, I want to get your take on it. Here it is.
Contacts with a whistleblower. And so I'm going to have a few of my colleagues give remarks, and then we're going to try to go in there, and we're going to try to figure out what's going on behalf of the millions of Americans that we represent that want to see this Congress working for them and not obsessed with attacking a president who we believe has not done anything to deserve impeachment. Now the Republican whip, Steve Scalise.
Thank you, Matt. What is Adam Schiff trying to hide? I think that's a question so many people have, so many of my colleagues have, so many people in the press should have, is through those hidden closed doors over there, Adam Schiff is trying to impeach a president of the United States behind closed doors, literally trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election a year before Americans get to go to the polls to decide who's going to be the president. And frankly, it should be the people of this country who decide who's going to be the president, not Nancy Pelosi and not Adam Schiff in secret behind closed doors. The fact that Adam Schiff won't even let the press in
You can't even go in and see what's going on in that room. Voting members of Congress are being denied access from being able to see what's happening behind these closed doors where they're trying to impeach the President of the United States with a one-sided set of rules. They call the witnesses. They don't let anybody else call the witnesses. So they don't even let the president's legal counsel question people who are making baseless allegations. Maybe in the Soviet Union, this kind of thing is commonplace. This shouldn't be happening in the United States of America, where they're trying to impeach a president in secret behind closed doors. The American people deserve better. We will demand better for the American.
All right, we're going to go to Jim Jordan in a minute. And we'll walk this into the next hour, and I'll leave in about 5 minutes into the next hour and let you take the cedar, because I want to listen while I have my lunch and what you have to say. So a lot of this is my own selfishness. I want to hear Barnes. I love listening to him talk because I know he's smart. When we talk about a clear and present danger, we've been conditioned so long to increasing a successful approximation of tyranny that now it's textbook authoritarianism on every front. They're trying to cause a race war. They're censoring. They're spying on everybody. Soros has still got people in the State Department running spying on American media illegally using CIA. That's in mainstream news today. I told you 3 years ago that was happening. And because you've got this rogue, out-of-control system, Trump can't get control of it, or he doesn't want to. I don't think that's the case, but we're investigating it all. To have them shift reading fake documents on air, he gets caught, so now he runs in here, and it turns out that these are all conspirators, just keep saying, oh, somebody told me, but they won't say who, so it never ends, so Trump can't ever face an accuser. This is the big crime. This is the fraud. This is the outrage, and that the Justice Department's done nothing, and that Trump's doing, and that we're doing nothing. I mean, thank God these congressmen are up there, and they're charging in to expose it, but this is a next level. It's like the left's gone, no one ever does pure tyranny, because it backfires. Let's just try it. And they're just, what's their mindset? Because it's so naked that it's the classical evil.
Well, what unites the establishmentarian left, the deep state, and the identity politics left is statism. They believe deeply in statism. So it's no coincidence that this is state-style politics and state-style policies that you saw in the Stasi, that you saw in the Soviet Union, because those were leftist regimes, communist regimes.
So exactly. This is textbook.
Textbook. If you look at it, they're just using Politburo techniques. It's identical.
I mean, it's 100%.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're running the Rams defense when you have it. I mean, it's the exact script. I mean,
secretive hearings, no due process, no ability. You go through the constitutional rights in the civil or criminal process, rights to confront your accusers, rights to due process of law, rights to know the rights to discovery of the information used against you, rights to be able to present in the adversarial system, rights to counsel and representation in that entire process. All of those rights are being denied the President of the United States because this is sort of a deep state Democratic Party combined coup collusive effort to undermine and take out the elected President of the United States before you can
and above so below. When we come back, to myself and everybody else, they're all the universities, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the NAACP, they're all openly abandoning the Bill of Rights.
It is now an admitted fact.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Robert Barnes is our guest. He's taking over here in the next segment. He says he does want to take calls. So what do you want to take calls on, monsieur?
Probably the president, the impeachment process and how it works legally and why what's happening here is not only ahistorical, but a direct threat to constitutional liberties for the future of the country.
All right. 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. First-time callers, long-time callers. But let's give the first 5 minutes for people that have never been able to get on air. Please don't call for the first 5 minutes. We can get some of those folks online. And then if you're a regular caller, you're welcome as well. We just want to give people that can't get through a chance. 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. We had dinner last night, and you agree with me, I agree with you. We really put our heads together for about 2 hours. It's all BS, but that's why it's even more of a threat, is because they're not going to stop, and they have made an institutional decision from the top of the Democrats down to abandon Bill of Rights, Constitution, and to imprison their opposition. That's in big national polls today. And they're coming for us. If we're nationalists, if we're patriots, if we're libertarians, if we're traditionalists, if they really have an authoritarian will, as Trump said last week. Hey, the Democrats are evil, they're vicious, but they stick together. Whereas the rest of us are just sitting here not realizing this is a group of people that want power. They decided to do it, and most Democrats now know, in my view, that they're tyrants. And even their camp followers who don't get power from it have made this decision, I think. What would you call that historically?
Well, it's sort of a statism. Statism has creeped into the ideology. It's not only the sort of operational methodology of the deep state and Democratic Party, because a lot of this is the deep state wanting an operational coup of American foreign policy. I mean, they're actually overtly stating in these depositions and these testimonies.
Germany today, the world tomorrow. It's about global domination.
Absolutely. They think they should dictate foreign policy. What they're objecting to is how dare President Trump decide what our policy with Ukraine is going
to
be.
By the way, you just said it. You just cut to the chase. It's about global domination. That's why they're so hungry. It's why the fight's so crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, and
that means if this group gets control of America fully, look out, planet.
No doubt about it. And then they are a constant threat. I mean, it's these deep state operatives who've instigated conflict that led to the civil war in Ukraine, led to the conflicts throughout the Mideast, led to conflicts in parts of Africa, led to conflicts in parts of Latin America and Central America. Large part of the immigration problem we have today dates to deep state policies and politics over the last half century in Central America, overthrowing government after government after government, empowering cartels and criminal operatives.
They just believe they have a right to rule.
Absolutely. And they think, and they see people as cattle. They don't see people as human beings. They don't really recognize and respect. It's that ideology that's similar to statism in its communist form.
Isn't that the Chicago Business School Straussian?
Yeah, it is in part, but it's even sort of deeper and broader in the sense.
It's a right to rule.
Right. It's like some people would call like going to traffic court, feeling like you're in a cattle call. And I remember being very revelatory for how the state sort of approaches human beings in general. They see numbers, they see labor, they see consumers. They don't see human beings.
And they want to make us robots where we conform to that. They want to make their view of us reality. It's why they put the fluoride in the water. It's why they do it all.
All of it is designed to make people, to coerce people into a behavioral control and to serve their institutional and individual
And that's
interests.
Why capitals are big and ornate. It's meant to make you feel small.
Exactly. That's why the big churches, when the churches were the state, were ornate. It was designed to impose its will and its power on the populace and the public and to feel subservient and to feel powerless and to feel impotent in being able to express their individual will.
But societies like that stagnate and fall apart. Societies that make us feel big and strong and powerful just explode with vibrance.
Exactly. Societies that are individually driven and human driven are the ones that ultimately succeed and prevail for human beings' purposes. But for power driven statists, they see that as a problem, not a benefit.
Free will gets in the way of them playing God.
Exactly.
But if they were really God, they'd want us to have free will.
And the degree of arrogance to be able to go in and believe that they can file bogus whistleblower claims, make inaccurate, untruthful statements in those claims under penalty of perjury, have those claims illicitly leaked, and now in these Stasi Star Chamber style hearings to be able to selectively leak and propagate false stories against the President of the United States.
We're coming back after this break. You're going to be hosting, and their calls are coming up. I want you to please address this. How do you think they're going to come at Trump next? What can we do to stop it? With Robert Barnes, I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com, Tomorrow's News Today, Infowars.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
It is fulfilling to know that there are serious challenges in our individual lives and to our species in general. It's fulfilling to face the hard facts because we are designed to take on a challenge when we decide to actually engage and be involved and have purpose-driven lives. So many people are completely empty, no matter how much money or how much success they have, because they did it only for themselves, not for the greater connectivity. Now, the globalists understand this. The social engineers know how we tick. And so they will create an artificial system of collectivism where a centralized corporate board collectivizes us for the so-called good of the people. But really, we're being collectivized so we can be controlled and engineered and further dumbed down and turned into slaves. That's the admitted globalist program. So I like to pull back and look at things that are really hard to change versus things that are really easy to change. And InfoWars has been instrumental, thanks to your support, in launching major initiatives against the anti-human forces of the NWO. That said, though, electromagnetic radiation from 5G, what they're doing to us through the vaccines, all of this is a real challenge. The brainwashing of our children, the sexualization of our children, all of this is done to sabotage the species so we don't go to the next level. But one of the ways we can really, really take action is with things that our bodies absolutely have to live and survive. And these are things that the globalists have very quietly, but in a steady way, focused on to make sure that we don't get them in our diets, so that we are dumb, so that we are slow, so that we are lethargic, so that we don't have that initiative. Because if we have the initiative, well, then we will make choices in our lives and be involved in ways that take control away from the control freak, social engineer, globalist, the mad scientist that think they're God. Now, that said, this is how we fund our operation. And I fund our operation with things that I believe in, that I know are good, and that I use. And I cannot tell you enough how important it is to realize that almost all the soils on the planet are depleted of iodine. If you don't have iodine, you will get deficiencies. You will end up dying. That's a fact. And there's all the big studies, Europe, U.S., China, Mexico, there's thousands of them, that iodine deficiency causes autism-like symptoms. It causes birth defects. It causes so many serious problems, very low IQs in children. And if you add fluoride to that, which Western governments add to the water and to foods, then it accelerates that. And our life expectancy is going down in the West. Infant mortality is exploding. We are getting stupider and stupider. Our IQs are plunging. And ladies and gentlemen, this is being done by the cold-blooded establishment to create a system where the West falls, and then there'll be nobody to oppose their authoritarianism because all the other nations accept it. They never had the revolutions that we had in America and areas of England and Europe. And so it's a big deal. So I want to just encourage you to understand this isn't just some pitch to fund InfoWars. We have the iodine challenge at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 and X3 and BioTrue Selenium, the very best out there. It goes very well with the iodine. To supercharge the electrochemical activities in your body makes hormones off of iodine. It's just incredible. And find out what the good halogen does versus the bad halogen. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, 60% off on the iodine global challenge. And please tell others about this information and give them the facts, because this is key to stopping the globalist agenda.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars.com. This is Robert Barnes, guest hosting for this hour. We appreciate your calls, and we see some are coming in, and we'll get to those in a few minutes. I've had a lot of questions about the Texas case concerning the 7-year-old who's part of a custody dispute that is concerning whether or not his mother has the authority to, as part of her custody, to transition him into a girl, and what kind of mental health treatment he should receive, whether there should be a biological treatment that she has the power to. And in reviewing some of the records, so there's today the Texas governor announced that he had the attorney general involved in investigating the case to make sure it complies with Texas law. And really, it's a question where the left has a contradiction. So in cases of immunization and in other contexts, many people on the left and the legal left take the position that parents' custodial rights does not extend to their decision about what vaccines their children receive or don't receive. But here, many on the left are taking the opposite position and saying that a parent's custodial rights includes transitioning a 7-year-old boy into a girl. And that's really the sort of core legal question is, what does custody involve? So without commenting in detail about that case, because we haven't seen the court transcripts or the underlying records, there's only been published reports concerning it, but haven't been able to see some of the underlying documents. But what the broader legal issue that's implicated is, does a parent's custodial rights, as opposed to another parent, give that custodial parent the right to have the boy referred to as a girl, have the right to require that the other parent treat the boy as a girl, have the right to have medical interference or intervention in the boy's life to transition him into a girl? How far does it extend? What are the limits? And what is the role of the court system in that regard? Is that simply something that whoever the custodial parent is has that right no matter what? Or are there some constraints on that? Does the non-custodial parent have some right in that regard? Does the non-custodial parent have to agree to it? This conflict actually comes up in a wide range of contexts. It comes up in the religious context. So, for example, does someone have to, if one parent has one religious belief, another parent has a different religious belief, does the non-custodial parent have to assert the religious beliefs of the custodial parent when in the presence of the child? Traditionally, there's been respect for both parents' rights in parenting their child as they see fit. And this case raises all of those questions and goes right to the core of these issues. And it's been a little shocking to hear that there are medical advisors and medical experts out there saying that parents should transition their kid in a pre-puberty age into a different gender because the parent wishes it or the parent believes the child wishes it. So that's where the legal issue comes down to. That's sort of the legal scope of the question. And it raises deep questions as there's this broader societal push to force the idea of gender identity being subjective onto the broader populace. This case also gets into that question. So there was conflicting testimony from the published reports where one group of experts referred to gender as an objective biological definition. Others said it was a social construct, and they had conflicting interpretations of what that meant for custodial rights involved in the health care of their child, depending on which underlying belief system they had. And this reliance on medical experts raises other questions. What happens when the medical expert has a particular political preference or religious bias on the subject matter? How does that impact and influence the custodial upraising of the kid? Where's the court's appropriate intervention line? And again, the legal left has had contradictory positions on that as well, because they say custodial parents have no rights to deny vaccines if the state compels them or demands them. They're even considering criminalizing it in aspects of California and New York. And yet here they're saying that the one custodial parent can overrule another custodial parent in dictating the gender identification of a child, even against their biological designation. So there's a lot of legal issues and constitutional issues implicated as to the authority of it, and they're going to be far from easy to extract, but it reflects the broader social and public policy debate that's taking place in the country. And the reason why the Texas governor got involved is because of the widespread public outrage at the idea that a court system could authorize a parent's custodial rights to include forcing that child to undergo gender transitioning and gender identification change against the will of the non-custodial parent. And that's sort of the broader scope of the legal issues involved. The reason why custody mattered is because whoever had custody, the court system appeared to be interpreting as having the exclusive prerogative of determining the gender identification and treatment of a child. We have the Connecticut case involving where people are being charged for using racist words. This goes back to the Brandenburg case and other cases, which we'll discuss with the callers after we come back on the break. So stick with us here on The Alex Jones Show and InfoWars.com. Robert Barnes, guest hosted. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here at InfoWars.com. One of the other articles yesterday from the arguments made in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals up in New York concerned the attempts of the New York District Attorney's Office to harass the president by subpoenaing a wide range of financial records that are clearly outside the scope of the purported investigation. They purport to be investigating, according to the report, whether or not payments made to attorney Michael Cohen during the campaign were made consistent with state law. But what they subpoenaed doesn't relate to that. They subpoenaed 8 years of Trump's personal financial records. How does 8 years of financial records relate to two transactions in October of 2016? They clearly do not. This is an abuse of judicial power. This is an abuse of the grand jury that it again reveals how inadequate the grand jury has become as a test, because when you have politically motivated grand juries in politically hostile areas to a particular person or party, then you're going to get these kind of outcomes. And it was in fear of this precise situation that the founders made it clear that impeachment is the exclusive remedy for any particular conduct that is found to violate the criminal laws. That's why impeachment refers to high crimes and misdemeanors as the impeachable offense, not misuse of power, not somebody doesn't like what they did, not that the Democrat, there is no impeachment provision for investigating Democrats. There is no impeachment provision for opposing deep state policies or prerogatives. There's only for high crimes and misdemeanors. And that means impeachment, not criminal investigation, not random counties doing grand jury investigations, is the appropriate remedy. So the headline was about how that grand juries wouldn't even have that authority to investigate the president in case he shot someone. But that's because that's the way the Constitution designed it, knowing that otherwise politically hostile grand juries in the hundreds and thousands of counties that exist across the country could politically harass their adversary by doing ceaseless criminal investigations. The position that President Trump's lawyers took before the Second Circuit is the same position President Jefferson took many years ago. So let's go to some of the questions that and some of the callers that have questions concerning the impeachment issues. Let's start with Matt in California.
Hey, Robert, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering whether there would be any kind of strategic advantage, whether real or perceived, to go ahead with the impeachment so as not to interfere with the second term and how that would go down.
I mean, I think from a political perspective, the Democrats are making a major mistake because they're underestimating Trump's base of support, and they're underestimating the audience and the people and the public being a firewall against this, that they will answer the Revere call for help and assistance to defend the president against this unlawful impeachment process and this attempt to overturn an election, the second attempt to overturn an election after the Mueller investigation and witch hunt was done previously. The president has talked about sponsoring a witch hunt party on Halloween, and some of his supporters and social media supporters are doing the same, like Diamond and Silk and others, and it's appropriate. So I think from a certain political perspective, the impeachment highlights and awakens Trump's core base to the risk of what's taken place. I mean, that's why we have a Paul Revere Spirit of 1776 t-shirt that you can buy at the InfoWarsStore.com is in part answer to that call, to be ready to answer the call. So from a certain perspective, you're correct that the impeachment awakens his base in a way that can rally his base to help him with reelection. It's unfortunate it had to reach that dramatic posture and that this unlawful impeachment is still a real risk and a real threat to the president. What it reveals is the degree to which the Democrats and the deep state opponents of the president are willing to resort in order to go after this elected president, to once again try to dictate all foreign policy in the United States against the president's wishes, to try to coerce a certain foreign policy agenda from his subordinates and others, to be afraid and intimidated by these Stasi-style star chamber secret hearings that are taking place, where witnesses are being forced to testify under penalty of perjury, often not presented the subpoenas until they show up. One witness had to go out and get private counsel because the witness was ambushed at the hearing with a sudden subpoena, which created a different legal risk of exposure for that individual. So you're seeing a very rogue and wayward prosecutorial process that is much more reminiscent of Politburo-style investigations than anything that resembles the open, transparent process that congressional impeachment is supposed to be about, and that due process is supposed to recognize and protect and enshrine. So, yes, you're right that to a certain degree, this awakens everybody to the degree and depth of opposition the president faces. The fact they're willing to resort to such an extreme mechanism as impeachment and an extreme method of obtaining that impeachment as they are doing with their secret hearings under penalty of perjury, often where only Democrats are present and transcripts are not released. Only leaked portions of transcripts are released. Fake and false information is released. That's why the Republicans had to literally storm the Democratic hearing yesterday in order to be able to find out what's going on, because that's the degree of illicit and unusual and unprecedented activity by this Democratic Congress. So, yeah, that's a good question and a good point, but it all depends on the public rallying to the Paul Revere call to defend this president against this unlawful impeachment. It is his only protection against these unlawful actions, and it will only work if the people respond and the people heed the Paul Revere call. So thanks for your question. Let's go to Jason. In Tennessee.
Yes. How you doing today?
Good, thank you, sir.
Basically, you know, 12-year graduate of high school, not much college. I mean, a little here and there, some trade school. I'm not a smart guy, but I can read the Constitution myself and see blatantly that they're breaking the law. They're actually just not even worrying about it. It blows me away in the outlandish way they're trying to pass it off.
No doubt about it. I mean, they believe they can create their own reality. It's sort of the same script of the AOK sign. I mean, the reason for the popularity of the hat that we're currently, that InfoWars store you can get now, the AOK, is to get you to believe that that somehow is a secret racist symbol. It's the same logic. It's the same idea, which is that they can just tell you something is lawful and that you'll believe it and that you'll accept it even when it's patently and plainly unlawful by the plain language of the text. It's like the old days when the church controlled access to the Bible and didn't allow people to read it for themselves and realize that the Bible said things different than what was being said from the pulpit in the various state institutionalized churches at the time. It's the same idea. The Constitution was written and crafted and drafted in such a way to be accessible to the layman, to the ordinary everyday person, written in common language, in everyday language, in lay language. It wasn't written in erudite legalese. It was written in such a way that anybody could read it and know what it means and know that it should apply in the reads in the language it was written in. And that is why, I mean, some of the best political revolutions in this country simply called for that, whether it was Martin Luther King or others said they just simply wanted the Constitution to read in the words it was written in. All men are created equal. We go back to the Declaration of Independence, that none are more equal than others. And yet here we have clear rights of free speech, free thought, free expression, that the president is the executive branch and decides not only criminal investigative process, but all of our foreign policy, that there are rights that are applicable to everyone, including the president, of due process, the rights to confront accusers, the rights to a fair trial, the rights to a fair investigative process. All of those rights are being plainly denied, that Congress is supposed to be open and transparent and open to the public, open to the people in the way they engage in activities too. And here they're violating that on a routine and regular basis. So, yeah, you're right. But what's happening is a clear, flagrant violation of the Constitution. They're wanting to rewrite the Constitution in live time. And that's why it is only up to the American people to prevent this from occurring, not only to this president, but for our own future. Come back after the break and we'll take more of your calls.
Before you slip into unconsciousness.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars.com. Taking your calls, let's go to Diane in Illinois.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, I got some questions for you, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I need a consult. My civic rights have been violated in 2010 to start. My second question is in 2013, 2014, didn't former President Obama sign legislation into propagandize the media?
I think what you're referencing is there were various efforts by the Obama administration to, through the Federal Election Commission and through the Federal Communications Commission, to dictate and determine what could be said over the airwaves, to set new rules in terms of net neutrality and other aspects that could have created problems for people's ability to have free speech and free press in the country. And that definitely was a real risk and a real exposure point. And some of those reforms that he attempted to push through were ultimately undone once Trump was elected. But the Obama waged an ongoing war against Fox News and anybody who had a dissident and different opinion than his own. And what he reflected is how the professional class as a class, increasingly very liberal in their political preferences and prerogatives, believe that it's more important that someone think the right thing than they think correctly in the first place, that they be able to think. And that he had that same mindset. He seemed to sincerely believe. You see this in Gabe Sherman's books on Fox and the Showtime series on Fox. that really seem to believe that people are only conservative in America because Fox News exists. That this sort of presumption that is, if they could control all mechanisms of speech and thought in the country, that they could get people to think the way they wanted them to think. And it reflects a disturbing and distorted perception of both the human mind, but also the human conscience, and how it really processes information and absorbs it and communicates it and expresses it. But of course, is also a fundamental threat to the fundamental and foundational freedoms in America. And that's what you're seeing, sort of broad scale and wholesale attempts through the civil legal system, the criminalization of speech in certain contexts, college boards and universities passing speech codes in certain places, punishing people for speech. And what you see in the millennial, particularly young millennials on the left, believing that there should be a safe space exception to the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution to prevent them from hearing speech they don't like. The right of free speech is not only the right of expression, but it's the right of the audience to hear and listen and make up their own mind. So the no one has a right to say what you have a right to listen to and what you have a right to hear. The limitations have always been restricted to specific circumstances of verifiably false factual information about a specifically identified individual. But we see attempts in the legal system to undermine that now as well. So that's what the free speech and free thought is critical to a free country. And that is what we're seeing as a systematic effort to undermine that and to take that away. And we're seeing that across the board. So thank you very much for your question. Let's go to Maxwell in Kansas. Maxwell, hello. Go ahead.
My name is Manuel, not Maxwell.
I'm sorry. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no worries, man. First generation born Mexican American, San Francisco. Now I am a medical refugee living in Kansas. And my father-in-law, he's a hardcore leftist. And I'm pretty sure they're conditioned to celebrate an attempt at Trump's life. We were just speaking about it today. What do we do to reverse that? Not only that, I have another question regarding meeting Trump had with Kissinger and another Russian after the inauguration. I believe it was the day after. That's what I'm being told, why he's a Russian asset. Can you touch on that, please?
Sure. Yeah. So on both of those accords, I think fear of assassination entered the American political lexicon, particularly in the 1960s. The first American president to be assassinated was Abraham Lincoln, who had a reclamation project that may have unified the country in a more productive, positive manner than what ultimately happened, which built residual resentment on both sides of the border, the Mason-Dixon line, that created almost a century of problems, not only for African Americans, but for Americans across the board politically. But really the 1960s is when it sealed it, when President Kennedy was assassinated and the explanations for it unsatisfactory to a wide range of the American public and populace. Then Martin Luther King's assassination with, again, questions raised about the nature of that assassination. A jury trial in Memphis ultimately concluded that there was a conspiracy behind that assassination, but the press didn't fully give full coverage to it. That was brought on behalf of members of the King family. Then we have the assassination of Robert Kennedy in 1968, leading up to his potential nomination to the presidency. So when you see these high-profile people assassinated back to back to back during a time period around the world where Patrice Lumumba, who was the great African hope for a democratic experiment in Africa, is assassinated and killed, you have a range of coups and overthrown governments throughout Central America, through parts of Asia, through parts of Africa, through parts of Europe during this time period. The Soviet Union specialized in assassinating its political dissidents, where and not only within the country but outside the country, people like Trotsky in Mexico City. So the people became more politically conditioned to assassination as a tool of power, that I think that's why a lot of people become concerned that as President Trump shows his independence from deep state power and is willing to expose the corruption and collusion between deep state, big tech, big media, and the Democrats in Congress, that those people who might be the most implicated in those scandals might want to take might use as a remedy the remedy that used to be taken throughout the world in different parts of the world over the past half century, which includes assassination. My own personal view on that is that I think anything like that will be seen as exactly what it is. So I think that our biggest deterrence is, again, the public willingness and the public consciousness to not allow that to occur and to take political action, correct political action, if anything like it attempts to occur. As to the various allegations of Trump being a Russian asset and various people connected to it, that was sort of an effort by the deep state, which has been hostile to Russia's policies and prerogatives because Putin is an independent actor. Putin doesn't abide by deep state objectives, doesn't abide by EU objectives. He does what he considers best for Russia. And that's what Trump respected in Putin and also disagreed with him whenever Russia's interests conflict with America's interests. But he understood Putin was someone you could negotiate with, you could work with, you could find areas of common interest with. And so he was willing and open to have a new detente with Putin because it would be critical to deal with actual threats to American economic security moving forward, and that's China. And the military security is involving the politicized, radicalized Islam in parts of the Middle East, which where we may have areas of common interest with Russia. And so any effort to reach out to various members of people connected to Putin really simply reflected peace, that President Trump is the peace candidate, doesn't want unnecessary war and conflict in places where either we cannot prevail or we cannot achieve an objective at a reasonable cost. And because he values and understands and is horrified by the loss of American life, that's why he makes special personal efforts to communicate with each family member of anyone who dies in the conflict, because he feels personally responsible for that, because politically he is. And he takes that responsibility seriously. Unlike President Obama, who talked about how good he was at droning people, according to various published reports, President Trump takes the death of people on his watch as something that he should personally monitor and personally try to control and cabin and constrict. And so I think that's what you're seeing in that broad scale of interest. And I think a lot of this still reflects these sort of deep state democratic coup attempts with impeachment to try to smear Trump in some ways being associated with Russia, who's just not our political or economic or cultural adversary in the modern age. China is an economic threat to the United States. Radicalized, politicized Islam in the Mideast with its terroristic threats is a threat to the United States. Russia is not. It's just the practical political reality. Parts of the deep state operatives wish it were. And you go back to the Clintons, who probably saw Russia as a perfect place for them to make lots of money when they left office in 1999 and 2000. Putin has been a personal hindrance and obstacle to the self-enrichment that the Clinton Foundation received from countries like Ukraine. And it's no coincidence that at the same time you're seeing these coup attempt efforts, you're seeing Hillary Clinton smear her Democratic political opponents as quote-unquote Russian agents, including Congresswoman Gabbard, who's actually served in the military and just has the same independent views of foreign policy that the president has. And otherwise is very much to the left. And yet here she's rumored that she wants to run again. So let's, when we come back after the hour, how much does Hillary Clinton hide behind the impeachment regime being waged against the president of the United States?
Synchronicity, call it serendipity, call it fate. But I was racking my brain this afternoon on what shirt should be the iconic Trump 2020 election shirt put on by InfoWars. We had the most popular shirt in 2016, Hillary for President. The most popular in the country. It was amazing. You made it the most popular. But I had a gut feeling about it. Well, I have one about the Trump Medusa shirt. I was already thinking it, and then I saw it in a video that Caitlin Bennett put out. It all clicked. Folks, get the shirt, InfoWarsStore.com. Let's make it the number one shirt.
You're supporting everybody's work that works there, and we report, and we come out here. You're making that happen, so thank you, number one. Tell everybody how awesome this shirt was.
It was a very big hit. Apparently, nobody likes Hillary Clinton, and everybody
I would have never known.
Fascinated by the shirt. It was a huge hit. If you want to get a lot of attention, I would definitely recommend going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting the Hillary shirt. They love it.
InfoWarsStore.com. Let's make it the number one shirt.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars.com. You can find out more about there was an earlier caller asking about certain kinds of legal questions. set up a law center to try to provide pro bono legal representation where we can, that people can subscribe to cover the cost of operation of those kind of cases. And it's at Free America Law Center. You can go to www.freeamericalawcenter.com. You can submit your questions through there. We try to answer them as best we can within the time frame that we can. People want to get podcasts and books and other things about the Bill of Rights. The monthly subscription is just $17.76 a month. So it was an organization we helped create to try to bridge the gap between the needs of ordinary people trying to protect their constitutional rights and the lack of access within the legal system to do so. Free America Law Center supports the Covington kids and supports Robin Gritz and her case against the FBI for being a whistleblower against deep state corruption involving Andrew McCabe and others, and a range of other cases that are as significant and important. So let's go to some questions. Let's go to and some callers. Let's go to Charles in Missouri.
Hello. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how are you, Charles?
I'm doing pretty good. Hope you're doing good.
Yes,
God
sir.
God bless you guys and everything you've been doing, especially at Free America Law Center. Hey, just a quick question. You know, I was trying to think of a way to, fire Schiff from his job. I mean, we have impeachment that was for the electric, but is there a way us as American as citizens can impeach Schiff or have him fired from the position he actually holds to start this, you know, BS in, impeachment hearing?
It's limited. I mean, generally speaking, for good reasons, usually you can only remove him by getting him beat at reelection time in Congress. But there is, in fact, a way for Congress members to be removed. If you'll remember, during the last cycle, before the Democrats seized control, there were efforts to remove certain congressmen from hearing committee positions solely based on them exposing deep state corruption and collusion. He can be removed or suspended from his committee position based on an independent ethics and inquiry. Congressman Nunes was, based on bogus inquiries. Schiff has actually violated the rules according to what has been established. First, he engaged in illicit conversations with the whistleblower, unknown and undisclosed at the time. Then after that, according to published reports, Schiff has engaged in a wide range of questionable tactics, including making false statements at the beginning of a hearing, making it sound like the transcript between the President Trump and the President of Ukraine had a bunch of statements in it that never occurred. It was a falsified, fictionalized, fabricated transcript by the conduct of Congressman Schiff, and he let it off with the hearing, knowing it would be repeated by the mainstream media around the world before the truth could get out, that it was entirely fabricated. It was his imagined version of a conversation, not a real conversation. And now we have these secret star chamber-style hearings, and we have selective use of subpoenas. We have witnesses apparently being sabotaged and ambushed at the last minute, with subpoenas for information or testimony different than what they anticipated. So there is a basis by which he could be removed from his committee post that gives him this control, that gives him this authority, because the only reason why he has the authority to hold these hearings and the only way he has authority to issue subpoenas is because he's the chair of the committee. What's ironic here in all of this is that it's a fundamental betrayal of what the Intelligence Committee's original purpose was. The Intelligence Committee was created by Senator Frank Church. It was originally in the Senate. It was originally a special select committee on intelligence, and its entire point and purpose was supposed to be to govern and supervise the intelligence community, not to be a tool of the intelligence community against the will and interest of the public and the populace, which is what it has become instead. What was supposed to be a tool to prevent deep state from corrupting American policy and power has in fact become a tool to actually do so. And in this case, to go after the President of the United States, who is the elected and constitutionally in charge of the executive branch. So the other thing that can be done, aside from trying to remove him from his committee post, which is again up to the internal operations of Congress, for which people can submit petitions and other things of that nature. The right to petition is an often under-remembered part of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Everybody has the right to petition their government. It's critical, essential, and fundamental, and foundational to American freedoms. But the other part of that is he can, in fact, be removed from Congress by a vote of Congress. This goes back to Congressman Adam Clayton Powell. Other congressmen over time have been...
And Robert, just to jump in, because the show's almost over and it's riveting, I just ate my lunch and had a meeting and watched you and the great callers. You're going to be co-hosting with me again tomorrow before you leave town. It's awesome to have you here. I just wanted to again point out to everybody how serious this war is and how serious this fight is, and that we're under massive globalist attack. They're in the middle of a revolution to take out free speech. They now admit they are. And they're not going to stop once they've gotten our speech or shut down InfoWars. I wanted to thank the viewers again before you take another call for their support of InfoWars, for their support of the broadcast, the people that buy products from us, pay it forward to everybody else so we can get these broadcasts out to everybody and counter the New World Order. Also, again, we have the new hat you were just talking about, which is the AOK symbol worldwide, the international symbol of OK with hand signs. The ADL and others think they're God. They say it's evil. We can't wear it. We have it at $19.95, InfoWarsStore.com, with store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points. That means we're making $5 on this hat. It's a high-quality hat. Costs us like $9.95 to get it. Then $5 shipping. Get your hat, InfoWarsStore.com. We just sell a lot of toothpaste, a lot of ball caps to fund this operation. You're coming through, folks, but barely. I want to expand in the face of this. And finally, we're supporting other folks as well, and they're supporting us. Gab McGinnis got taken off everything. Well, Gab McGinnis is back with his new online TV network, freespeech.tv. Please go to subscribe to Gabin to see his daily show, Get Off My Lawn. You'll also find Joe Biggs, Milo Yiannopoulos, Soph, and the new show, Free Speech, where Gabin interviews a liberal and a conservative. There's lots of good content, and he's an ally of the InfoWars, so go check it out and subscribe at freespeech.tv. We're all in this together. We hang separate, or we're going to hang together. We're hanging together, but the war is intensifying into 2020. They could stage trying to kill a bunch of congressmen again like they did at the ball field. So it's a critical time. Back to you to finish up, Bob. So thanks for letting me pop in. I'd forgotten to do that ad. Thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question that the foundation of the firewall for the president of the United States to protect American fundamental freedoms moving forward, the original constitutional liberties, is the public, is his base, is this audience. And so this audience's support of InfoWars is the only thing that keeps it alive. This is the only press of this size, of this scale, of this political belief system and ideas and independence that exist in the world that is completely free of corporate ads, completely free of sugar daddy billionaires, completely free of secret foreign influence, doesn't have any of those aspects or attributes that so infect other aspects of the press in this country, so affect other aspects of political parties and other institutions of influence in this country. You even have foreign governments influencing universities, by the way, they involve in grants and other aspects. So this is why it's so critical, so essential, so fundamental that the audience keep alive this independent structure. This is the most little d democratic independent press in the country. And it is the most critical. And it's the reason why it has been the subject of more attacks than anybody from members of the press, efforts to demonize, efforts to ostracize, efforts to isolate, efforts to remove from Facebook, remove from Instagram, remove from YouTube, remove from Google. The CNN whistleblower who was here yesterday was talking to me, and he was talking about how he didn't have any understanding of InfoWars other than the caricature of InfoWars he'd seen at places like CNN and other places. And he was really startled by the gap of difference between the caricature and the reality of what it is on a daily basis. It's ordinary, everyday Americans who care about their country getting healthier, wealthier, and wiser for their own personal life by supporting InfoWars and keeping it afloat and fueling the flames of American liberty that sits in the Statue of Liberty to this day through this broadcast that has reached to people around the world, that you get to support an independent free press while at the same time buying products that you like, that you enjoy at a cheaper and discounted basis than they are easily available elsewhere. It's the perfect little d democratic economic experiment that it keeps free speech and free press, the critical foundations of a free country and a free democracy, alive. And everyone here thanks you for your continued support, and continue to go to InfoWarsStore.com and find things that you like and enjoy and that you can get them at a discounted price, and that you are the reason this message is out there. You are the reason this firewall exists for the president of the United States. You are the reason that the foundational freedoms of America are still alive. We are at a decisive, determining time period that is going to determine the future of this country. Probably the most significant time period in the history of this country. You are the key to it. So keep it alive here at InfoWars.com.